dog shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
Keep going.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
Hey, what's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the Wednesday show with the Drew and Mike show, including Mark Maz, Brandon, Joey, and special guest. You heard him singing along with Billy Joel there, Mr. Mickey Redman.
Hey, I'm Mick.
How are you guys?
Not bad.
I wish I had his banker.
Yeah, it's
they
always,
all do.
It's always a great song on Saturday night at 9 o'clock, eh?
Isn't that great?
No matter where you are.
Do they always hit it on the button?
I think so, pretty much. One time my lip sank it, and I never do that again. Oh, my God.
That right after hockey night in Canada?
It was crazy. It was a while ago, Tommy. Well, a lot of water over the bridge.
You got it, baby.
I thought you guys were going to get into it here.
Yeah.
Maz is trying to make a joke, and Mickey... What was it? The chin music started a little early?
Chin music, yeah.
Oh, I asked him if he wanted the chair with wheels, but I called it a wheelchair.
You said, do you want a wheelchair, Mickey, is what you said.
Getting sassy over there.
He's just get off the ice. I don't need a wheelchair, thank you.
He's sitting on his tiger folding chair. You should sit here, Mick. Let me sit there.
No, no, we're good.
People want to see you.
We're good.
The camera's on.
No, no, you're the pretty guy in the crowd.
Yeah, come on. Switch seats with me.
They're looking at your hairdo.
Switch seats with me.
Can you turn the camera on, Mickey?
Look who's busting balls now.
For a minute.
Hey, you got to do it, what you got to do, right?
Take your territory.
I've been doing this a long time. There's nothing people like better than hearing people get their balls busted. I don't know what it is.
Yep.
Chin music. There you go. All right.
Flannel going. Get the flannel going.
Good as always.
Yep.
KillerCares.org, by the way, is where you go to bid on. Let's see. We've still got the bartending is over.
Well, I mean, unless you're watching on Facebook right now, it ends tonight. So if you want to bid on that to
celebrity bartend
with us, I think you'll get Mickey. You're after us, so I think
I'm after you guys. Yeah, so you're gonna set the table.
So half a shift with us, half a shift with me.
Yeah, you guys usually lollygag over for a half an hour.
Yes,
have
we
a ginger ale.
What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
A little post game libation.
Well, you have to know your way around the bar, right?
That's right. Yeah,
you got a sample.
Yeah. And there's some other things on there though too. There's Red Wings hockey, some great seats, and meet Mickey. And we got lunch with Charlie and I. We've got a visit to the studio for the show, just like Mickey's getting a free one today. I think there's six or seven items on there still. And meanwhile, let's see, a little business. It's December, which means all the good boys and girls get a visit from Santa himself. And if Zot Ford in Jolly Holly is celebrating their Built for the Holiday sales event, during their Built for the Holiday sales event, you pay what they pay. In other words, you don't have to be an employee to get an employee discount on select vehicles. So, Maz, you're waiving your commission and?
My commission is pre-waived.
Okay.
And you get to come in and have our employee price, which is great.
Okay, so nobody's making any money in December. Lease a new 18 Ford Escape as low as $123 a month. No plan, no problem. Or lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $144 a month. No plan, no problem. Don't delay, because once St. Nick finishes his holiday gift giving, Zot Ford's Built for the Holidays sales event will be finished too. And while you're there, don't forget to give Maz a big wet kiss under Zot's Merry Mistletoe. Wow, that's in the coffee too.
It is. And don't forget, the 18s are going to start dwindling.
You kiss me?
So come on in and grab your 18 before
they dwindle.
Before they're gone.
I want to kiss you.
Okay, Joe.
And often the first question men ask when they talk to a lawyer at ADAM, the American Divorce Association for Men, is how much is a divorce going to cost?
But the real
But the real question is how much is it going to cost you if you don't hire the best? ADAM was the first law firm to focus exclusively on representing men in divorce, and ADAM is still the best. It doesn't cost any more to hire the best, but it could cost you plenty if you don't. Call ADAM 248-356-2326. 248-356-ADAM. We got GroGreen, too? Okay. You're still in here? All right. Michigan is now the 10th state to allow the recreational use of marijuana, but dispensaries don't open until 2020. So if you want to legally light up, you have to grow your own. Boy, things have changed in broadcasting.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Mick, can you use a little of that after getting off the ice?
Never.
No?
Never.
Just checking.
Enough problems.
I know D-Mac would like that.
Yeah. You know what? I can't put anything in my lungs anymore.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, they have edibles now, Mick.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. got the gummy bears.
Okay.
Mark tried you to get me to take it. A couple
somebody
on
somebody told you guys that stuff, right?
Of course. Hey, it's legal now.
Yeah.
Maybe you have friends that grow that will give it to you for free, but not too many people are giving away pots, so this is where Grow Green MI comes in. They're the largest hydro store in the county.
Country.
The country. Oh, it does say county. It's country. With over 30,000 square feet of indoor gardening supplies, they buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you, the grower. Grow Green MI isn't two stoners in a hydro store. They're a staff of 40-plus, including 16 master growers who will have you growing your own high-quality, legal green in no time. These guys are the pros when it comes to growing cannabis. They've got turnkey tent kits with every piece of grow gear you need to start growing today, all in an easy-to-use and cost-efficient package. Whether you start out looking to maximize your 12 plants, Grow Green has you covered. That's if you just started. Also, giving away free nutrient kits from Advanced Nutrients, Psycho, and Mills Nutrients to the first 30 tents sold to Drew and Mike listeners. That's a value up to $245. Grow Green MI is worth the drive. It's on M36 and Whitmore Lake or online at growgreenmi.com.
And that green thing today was enough.
So there we go. So Mick, how's it going?
Great.
I heard. Wait, lose for Hughes, and then all of a sudden they're above 500 and looking good last night.
Don't tell the players that. I mean, they didn't win the first 10, 11 games, and everybody was screaming. But all of a sudden they're competing every night, and Jimmy Howard's standing on his head.
Ew, boy, they had 42 shots last night or something, and the Wings only had 21, and they won 3-1.
Yeah, first star. Yeah,
and Blash took a coach now all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, eh? I mean, it's a result-oriented business. Mm-hmm. Than ever before. It's interesting. We now have 31 teams in the league. And how about this? 23 of them will not get past round one.
Correct.
Think about that.
Ooh. Yeah.
23 of 31 won't get through the first round. There's only 8 standing after that. So, I mean, it's a vanilla. Call it. Bettman wanted, parity. Leave it at that. Uh-huh. And some nights it's vanilla. But, you know, most of the nights it's very, very entertaining. And I don't know where what they've been. Maybe they've been getting a lot of that green stuff you're talking about. Lately, there's been a lot of animosity. And the fans are loving it.
Well, that would calm them down. It would have no animosity.
Oh, that's no good. That's not going to work. No. It's amazing. Like, out of nowhere, there's actually some chin music at the benches when I go down in the third period. And I'll spend that right on the Red Wing bench, and it's been fun to be around the kids. It's great. Really great for me. I really enjoy it. And all of a sudden, there's stuff going back and forth on the benches. In the old days, you know, you couldn't even have a microphone down there. It was ridiculous.
Sure.
But now, you know, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, there's big hits at open ice. There's guys talking, suspensions all over the place. It's like, well, okay, what are these guys eating today? So
Mick, somebody got Cronwald the other night.
They did. I know.
How about that?
And no penalty. It was great.
Yeah, blast Anders from the
Lee.
Past.
Anders Lee of the Islanders had his head down. And you know what? The kid admitted after the game, it was my fault. Cromwell didn't get suspended, rightfully so, because he didn't drive up into him and he had his head down. And even though the head contact was the first body contact of the whole hit, they said, you know what? You got to take ownership. And that's really what we're talking a lot about now these days. The players are putting themselves in a very vulnerable position, and they need to learn at a younger age there's some landmines out there, and you got to know where they are. We all did, and even then you're going to get whacked a few times anyway, but it's crazy.
Why do people get away from that? I mean, do you think that seems so obvious?
I don't know. I don't understand it. As a guy that's been part of the NHL for 50 years out of the 100 years we've been around, I started in 67, so it's 51 years. I don't understand. You come through the middle. Remember Kozlov and Scott Stevens back in the day?
Oh yeah,
remember that one?
Of course,
yeah. Ozzie still got some cobwebs.
Cobwebs. Everybody pointed at Lindros. The bench. He pointed at the bench after that.
Lindros and Scott Stevens.
Scott Stevens.
I mean,
again.
Those kind of. I mean, we got hit like that once in a while, but nowadays, oh my God, it's terrible. I don't know whether it's the coaching, and the young players expect that the league is going to protect them. If you guys saw the hit by Perreault, Matthew Perreault, by Dale Weiss last, I think it was Sunday, in a 7-1 game, Philadelphia against Winnipeg, it just makes you cringe. Little guy, French-Canadian, comes through the middle. He's like a helicopter. He hits him. His neck snaps. He's had concussion problems. Oof. Not good. Not good. So I don't know what the heck they're thinking.
Speaking of French-Canadian, do you think the NHL should have given Quebec the next team, or they gave it to Seattle?
Oh, I don't know. It's all money, Tom. I mean, it's...
Oh, but Seattle over Quebec?
It's all money.
I don't know if...
Don't tell me the Quebec guys couldn't come up with the same money.
I don't know much about the corporate, you know, world in Quebec, whether they've got that kind of protection or not. But certainly Seattle, natural rival for Vancouver. There's the hit.
Oh, I just saw it.
Look, now, this is Dale Weiss.
Boy, Mickey, there's that peripheral vision. You're talking to Maz and you saw
Philadelphia's losing this game 7-1.
Woo.
Is that something?
Wow.
Watch this. Watch his neck.
I mean,
ouch.
It was not a dirty play.
I mean, whiplash doesn't even describe that.
Yeah, that's
a car crash. There's no question.
Really? I mean, you don't have to make that hit. Dale Weiss is a tough guy, and I like the way he plays the game, but that's totally unnecessary.
7-1, you know, they're up, and he did that? Well, they were down 7-1.
You don't do that stuff, you know? I mean, especially, well, in the old days, 7-1 game, you had to keep, you knew they were coming after you.
Sure.
In our day, but not now.
Well, now maybe it's back.
You know, I don't think so, Tom. And hopefully it isn't, because as bad as this is right now that we're looking at, it was ridiculous in my day. You know, you had to have your head on a swivel.
Well, half the guys didn't wear helmets.
Nobody had a helmet on.
Hardly anybody did. Yeah. But they had, you know, there was some really dangerous people skating around the ice when I was playing, and you had to know where they were all the time and still be productive and get your job done. Try to think about that for a second.
Most of them were in Philly, probably.
Well, they had a bunch in Philly. They had a bunch in Boston. And I mean, everybody had Battleship Kelly in Pittsburgh.
They went in the stands.
They had Gassoff in St. Louis. And they brought up Connie Madigan from the Pacific Coast League, who was a butcher man. I mean, remember Eddie Shack and Larry Zidel had a stick fight. They were carving each other up with a stick in the face.
What do you want to do, huh?
Right? I mean, that was, it was crazy.
Which era, in your mind, has like the most cheap shots? Because you used to talk about that. Once they got rid of fighting, you saw more cheap shots. Like, when did you see the most cheap shots? In
you know what? Actually, the hits from behind have almost gone away now, thank God.
Yeah.
Because they've started putting stop signs on the kids, that, you know, the peewees and bantams, where you shouldn't hit a guy in the back, but he was not looking.
So you don't have numbers on the back anymore?
They have stop signs, really?
For the kids they did.
I thought that was a joke.
No. They wanted to teach them you don't hit a guy from behind.
Wow.
Hey, but whatever works.
And thank God that's gotten out of the game. It got bad about 7-8 years ago.
You hit a kid into a board?
It
into
was
the boards?
Silly. I would say to the young guys playing today, why did you make that hit? He said, well, you were trying to hurt him? No, I didn't want to hurt him. I go, really? How would you like to be on the receiving end of that same hit? I wouldn't like that. Well, there you go. I don't understand what they don't understand. And the NHL Players Association really needs to get together and police their own people, because no wonder the lifespan of these hockey players anymore is only 4 years or 4.5 years. Yeah, they're making a lot of money.
It's an aggravating game.
But,
you know,
I mean, are you going to end up with head damage and problems in life at 25, 28 years old? Come on. It's silly.
Hey, Mark has a piece of Red Wings trivia, and I thought, that doesn't sound like... Well, first of all, when it's Red Wings trivia, I figure Mickey will know it no matter what. But this, I had never heard this, and it's a crazy story from, was it 1953?
I believe it was the 53-54 season. The Red Wings won the Stanley Cup.
A little before your time.
A little bit, yeah. I was born in 47. I might have
alive. And we've heard so much Red Wing history and trivia. I'd never heard this. Drew, you never heard
it. I never heard it.
Do you remember that team playing a group of prisoners?
Yes. Yeah, Ted Lindsay set that up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he always set it up.
Marquette, it was Marquette Prison.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That story blew my mind that after game 59 or 60, after they beat the Blackhawks,
like
they went up to
the
prison.
Well, I was going to say, what's the difference between a prisoner and a hockey player? I mean, come on. Yeah, they went up and entertained him, had a game. I mean, what the heck? It's like, well, what's that football movie?
Longest Yard.
Longest Yard.
Oh, yeah, Longest Yard.
I mean, in the middle of the season, that just blew my mind. Well, it had to do with...
It had to be hockey players.
Yeah.
I think they should replace the All-Star game with something like that.
Honest to God.
Well, two of the guys, I guess, that set it up were members of the Purple Gang. And they were in prison up there.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the coach's name. But
they knew the right guy.
Yeah, they said, hey, why don't you come up here and play us? And he's like, okay, sure, knowing that they would never have to go back up there.
Yeah.
And within 5 years, they had actually built a rink and put a team together.
Oh, my God. Well, great hockey fans up in the up around Houghton and Northern Michigan University in Marquette. And,
the best part about it, though, is that the Wings, who would go win the Stanley Cup, what, 3 months later?
Yeah.
Didn't let up at all. So do you know what the score was after the first intermission?
Oh, you mean with the prisoners?
Yes.
No, I don't know the score. But I
10-0
Was it 18-0
18-0
Oh, really?
Yes. It was so bad that they actually switched teams, and Sawchuk played on the prison team.
Oh, that's great.
And one prisoner was on a line with Ted and Gordy.
Oh, yeah.
And Abel went to the other side, too.
Wait, Ted Lindsay?
Yeah.
I thought you said Ted didn't play? Or you didn't think he played?
Ted Lindsay
was heavily involved.
Oh, he played.
Yeah, he was part of setting it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But who was that prisoner that was on that great line?
Still in prison. I don't know.
I just love Bobby Clark. That story, though. That's such a great sports story.
He took St. Abel's place.
You know, you'd think a couple guys like the Gordie Howes would maybe sit that one out, but
no, they kicked their ass. Yeah. That's the best part about it. They're like, fine, we'll destroy you then. They said the only time the prison goalie touched the puck in the first period was when he had to retrieve it from the back of the net. Yeah. Like it was just too. They were too quick.
He got sunburned in the back of his neck from the red light going on. Yeah. I remember we were playing the police, some group of the policemen here about a year and a half ago with the opioid stuff, and we were beating them up pretty badly. And I came to the bench and said, you know what, guys, you might want to back off a little bit here. These guys they're going to put you away again. You know, these are all police officers over here. You don't embarrass them. Come on.
That's great, though. I just had never heard that before.
Yeah, that's a great part of the Red Wing lore, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all fantastic. Good. Yeah.
Well, they posed it. That's the story. They posed it as the first outdoor NHL game, which I don't know how true that is.
Are the alumni still playing regularly?
Yeah, they are. My schedule has not permitted me to play hardly at all because we've had so many home games here in the first 3 months. Second half of the season, I think it's going to open up for me. But they play anywhere from 20 to 30 games a year all over. They go to Denver and play a three-day thing out there.
Nice.
All over Michigan. And actually, we used to go to Milwaukee. another place that got that green stuff, too, out there in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sure do.
They were on the forefront.
Yeah. But, it's been few and far between for me with the alumni so far this year, but it will be in the new year. I think I'll be able to play much more.
How do you like Little Caesars versus the Joe?
The Little Caesars.
I know
arena.
The Joe. You had no room. I know that.
Yeah. To build his own box, he loves it.
Yeah, he designed
better.
It.
Little Caesars Arena is incredibly. I don't even know the right words. I was telling Drew earlier. It's just wow, 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 wow. Yeah. Everywhere you go.
That's a nice place.
The great big hallways, 75 to 100 feet wide, and the restaurants and the bars, it just goes on and on. It's amazing.
That's the problem, but not many people are getting down to the rink to watch the game. They're playing around upstairs.
Yeah.
That's what they tell us.
Well, that was part of it last year. It's actually better this year, and that's because the team is playing better,
too. Yeah, of course.
So that goes hand in hand, but it's a real destination. People are coming down. You come off the street. You go in the one side of the restaurant, and then they shut it off to certain times of the day to going in the building, and then when it opens up at 6 or 6:30, whatever it is, you come through and get your ticket and go into the game.
It doesn't have that Joe charm.
Well, no, the Joe, and you were part of the foundation of the Joe, weren't you?
I love the Joe.
I know you did.
It's an unhealthy relationship with him.
You're like the mayor of the Joe. You'd come up there and he'd walk through that press box at the Joe.
Bothering
elbow
people.
To elbow. Like, Tommy's here. Okay.
I'd have to go in.
Some of us are trying to work.
I'd have to come in and see you guys. As soon as there was a second, I'd go in and just,
get
commercial.
Out of here.
That still busts his shots.
Get him out of here.
Of course, I had to go see. Had to see Kenny Cal and Woodsy. And
how distracting.
Doc Emmerich was up there. Come on.
Boy, it sounds like it was awful loose over there.
Sure was.
But he get anything done.
Thank God they have these new press boxes. You can keep Maz away.
Yeah. They let anybody in there.
It's tougher these days now. They made rules to keep me out.
It was good. It was good. The Joe was wonderful. There's not many people running around here that can say they were at Olympia, the Joe, and now the Little Caesars. So it's pretty cool.
Not many. I have to say, at the new arena, the concourse size is such a big deal when you're attending an event. Just not to, Joe's Arena, as charming as it was, between periods, everybody likes to go out and kibitz and get a beer and go to the bathroom, and there's not enough bathrooms, and it's always crowded. And so,
they added those bathrooms.
It's a whole different world.
They added them. They did a great job.
The thing I noticed right away with the new building was the sights, the sounds, and the colors are just so vibrant. It's unbelievable. The sound system, that big, I call it a clock. It's a board of, it's got 14 million LEDs in it or something crazy like that.
The overhang? You like the
gondola?
Yeah, the gondola.
Are you kidding me? It's, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're literally hanging over the ice.
Well, that's
he designed it, man.
That's the way we wanted it designed. Montreal Forum, or the Bell Center now, we're about 65 feet as the crow flies right from the near boards. So when I was asked back in the day, 4 or 5 years ago, what do you think? And I said, Montreal. Go study that one, and let's go. So we are about 65 to 67 feet off the near boards at Little Caesars. And every broadcaster that comes in there now goes, wow, this is really cool. Because, you know, the game looks so easy from up there. And what I didn't know at the time is that they were putting in gondola seating and suite gondolas up at the other side of the building. Yeah. And our friend Mr. Riley is over there on a pretty regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's really pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
It is. I have to admit, I don't know if it's a it's just a heights thing with me, but it's a little weird walking down there.
Oh, yeah.
That you're hanging from the
ceiling.
You
got to get used to it. Yeah, I know.
Pussy.
I know. What was really interesting on the design of that when we were going through it, and I said, you guys do understand that toilets don't run downhill in a gondola. You have to put a pump in there and pump it up and over the top of everyone down the outside of the building. And they looked at me like, how do you know this?
Locked a couple toilets up in your day.
That's another story. But anyway, but the Forum in Montreal had one. And they had a nice, you know, it's nice to have a bathroom that's near the press and radio, TV, and all that stuff. So
very nice.
Sure enough, we got a bathroom in the gondola, which is
wonderful.
I'm
surprised you don't have a urinal in the broadcast booth. That would be perfect.
No, we can't do that.
Kenny Daniels would never stand for that.
He can stand in it.
Where you go, right here.
All right, fill us in. Is Stevie Y coming?
Oh, no, you got to ask
Come on,
that.
Man.
Well, I'd say probably that eventually, yes. Yeah. Tomorrow, no. But, you know, the fact that he kind of backed away from Tampa Bay, he's been there since 2010, I believe it was, when he went there. He's had a really full life of traveling around. His family stayed here. Very difficult for him moving around like that and coming back and forth, trying to get he's still got a daughter that's going to U of M, I believe, and... When he made that announcement, it surprised me at the time, but...
you mean leaving Tampa?
I came to understand that, well, he's still with him. He's, you know, the last year of his deal, he wanted to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't keep commuting like that. It was just wearing him too thin over all this time. These jobs anymore are basically 11 months of the year. They used to be 9. Now they're 11. You get no downtime if you're a general manager. So it's not easy, but I think probably, you know, it's in the cards that eventually he's going to be here. People would love to have him here, and we'll see what happens as we go forward. But quite frankly, I know Ken Holland's come under a lot of heat early in the year about this rebuild. But quite frankly,
looking pretty good.
He's trying to rebuild this team in 5 years instead of what it takes is 10. And I'll give you some numbers to back this up. In 2008, we beat Colorado. In the second round, I believe. Since then, the Colorado Avalanche have made the playoffs only 3 times. 10 years ago.
Denver
twice they went out in the first round. So there's a 10-year rebuild, and they're a really good team this year. Edmonton Oilers, 4 or 5 first-round draft picks by luck, most of it. They've not performed well. They've had a hard time making the playoffs. The Leafs missed the playoffs for 10 years. You can't afford to miss the playoffs around here for 10 years. Mm-mm. You can't do
it. No, not here.
So... Ken Holland has tried to retool this thing and rebuild it in a 5-year time span, and that's not easy to do. Mantha, going back to about 13, where we got Mantha and then Larkin and so on, and this, you know, the guys that drafted all those Swedes and Russians and were so good and were so lucky in the draft back in the day went cold for about 5 or 6 years, and all those guys that they drafted are all gone. And now we're getting the fruits of the last 5 years with Tyler Wright, who used to be with Columbus. He's our head scout guy. So this thing is a work in progress, and I don't think with a new building and being the culture of an original 6, you can't afford to go 10 years without a competitive team. You got to try to win as much as you can today without sacrificing the future, and I think that's what he's done. So is he moving out of here tomorrow? No. Ken Holland's not going anywhere.
Maybe to Seattle.
No, I don't think so.
That was too good a run to run him out of here like that. Are you kidding me?
I love
Kenny. You know, the other side of this whole thing is we've been spoiled. Yep. Terribly spoiled by the 25 years of the run we had. It's unbelievable.
4 Stanley Cups.
And what I would say to Red Wing fans, don't let what happened then happen now. we didn't really, we watched Yzerman grow up in 1983, 84 when he was drafted. But I don't think we grabbed onto what was really happening once it started 87, 88 with Demers and da-da-da-da-da-da. Watch Mantha, watch Larkin, savor what you're seeing right now, because 25 years from now, you're going to think back and go, I remember when I paid attention to Larkin or Mantha or Athanasiou or Chalowski or this guy or that guy or the little guy who's in Grand Rapids, the Czech kid that we, what's his name? I forget, I'm drawing a crack.
Brandon ought to know.
Z in his name, is
I'm Zadina.
Zadina, yeah.
You know, Zadina, he's 18 years old, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys are the future of the Detroit Red Wing franchise. And what I would say is, you know what, savor the growth of these players. And that's what we look for every day and every week with the Red Wings now. It's not so much about winning today and being the best team in the league, because we can't be. We're not capable at this point. But we can compete and we can battle, and Red Wing fans are loving what they're seeing with the battle in this team right now.
Go Red Wings!
Hey, Mick, I got to ask you. Well, first of all, I want to mention that, of course, we're at the event tomorrow night, which is Killers Christmas for the, I think it's the eighth year. Not tomorrow night, but Thursday night at the Lodge Grill and Bar in Keego Harbor. Free admission, valet parking. Mickey's bartending 8 to 9. We're bartending 7 to 8. There's a lot of auction items at killercares.org. You know, the Tiger announcers, and I'm not trying to pick on these guys, but they had a real disappointing end to their run there with whatever happened. You know, I heard one guy choked another guy. I'm not sure. It was better. Can you recall any broadcast teams getting into that's pretty rare.
Certainly not in front of the press. I mean, no.
Well, you want to go after Goldie.
Everybody can have a now, see, he's disturbing again.
There he goes. The chin music's been nonstop. Jeez.
Like an elephant over there. He's got that memory. Yeah. No, I mean, I can't. That's really, I don't really know what happened. I heard probably what you heard.
Yeah.
Somebody, I don't know what the heck had happened.
I believe what I heard.
It's a damn shame, because they both cost them their jobs.
Oh, I know.
And how silly is that?
And those jobs are so hard to get.
Let's be straight here. If you got a problem with somebody, you got to find a way to work it out, you know? But to act up in front of everybody in the world like that, and especially today's world where there's cameras and stuff everywhere, no, you can't do that.
And
no,
there's
no good.
In Major League Baseball, how many play-by-play jobs? There are 30 play-by-play jobs.
Yeah. Right.
So you got 29 other jobs. Are you kidding me?
Now what?
I heard Rod was at some baseball event, you know, trying to stay. I'm thinking, that's just such a shame.
Yeah.
But what about guys?
Well, the worst part is they did it to themselves.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. I've known a lot of guys in radio who are teams, and Mike and I always got along pretty well, but, you know, where, you know, they never talk, but when they go to work, and it's funny how often you do see that.
Yeah.
Guys that work together, you know, well, it's probably in a lot of fields where, you know, both are important to the product. It happens, it just seems it's
bands.
Very common. Bands, yeah, entertainment, it just seems to be that way, but fortunately, doesn't happen. I thought you must have some story about somebody that had thrown a punch at somebody who was in a broadcast team.
No,
before,
I just, no. You know, I'm personally too easygoing. I mean, you just can't.
Oh, I didn't think you'd be throwing the punch.
I just can't imagine that you would let something like that get to you to the point where you'd have to, do, you know, resolve it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to talk it out. You got to be professional and try to get it resolved one way or another. The right way. You
know? We don't know any. Maybe there might be more deep-seated stuff that we don't know about.
Right. I'm sure there was. Well, it was over a chair.
I know. No, but think that was the last straw.
Yeah,
that was the last.
Of course,
straw.
No, it's not really over
the chair.
The chair. Well, Mick, we'll see you on Thursday, and I know a lot of people will be excited to see you out there too. And Killers Christmas, boy, it raised a lot of money.
Yeah,
a lot
that's of money. Good. Really, you know what? We're at the Red Wings, whether it's the big club or the alumni, we're just an extension of the big club. And when we can get involved with the community in Michigan for all the great causes and the needs that are out there for the less fortunate, we're more than happy to do that. And that's one that has been a favorite of ours for a long time. So we're looking forward to being there and interacting with you guys. And I guess if we give one to the other side of the bar, we get two on our side. Right, Drew?
Yes. Amen. Deal.
No one's better than you, Mick. Nobody's better
than
you.
You got to keep the odds right.
Nobody's you know better than you. It's an honor to be in the same mic with you.
We are blessed to do what we do in the greatest sports town in the country.
Amen.
Detroit, Michigan, man.
We'll be on our way back up again.
It is all good.
We'll be on our way back
up. Good to see you guys again.
Thank you, Mickey, and we'll see you Thursday. I can't wait.
You bet.
And Mark, you want to take care of
Hello, Hockey Town.
Sure.
Welcome to the home of Chris Osgood. Welcome to the home of Zetterberg. Welcome to the home of Mike Babcock. Welcome to the home of the Detroit Red Wings. And I tell you this, because we're all here together and you're all having a good time, the beer is on me. God bless you. Go Red Wings.
And then I'm pretty sure right after
that. No bigger hockey fan than
Who takes
Kwame.
The mic right after Kwame? That's you.
Yeah, you know. But now he's really looking for a way out. Hey, it's the holiday season where people and families come together and wishes come true. It's why Hoop McInerney Starling and celebrates the season by hosting the annual Lincoln Wishlist sales event. At Star, the amazing prices are going to make America's premier luxury car feel like it's their gift to you. You got a great lineup, especially of SUVs. They surpass all other brands, including the sporty MKC, the brand new Nautilus, and the Lincoln Navigator. Of course, the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. There's also the popular MKZ sedan and the legendary Continental. It's pure class, as it has always has been since it was introduced in 1939. Tis the season where Detroit's most accommodating and knowledgeable sales team will connect you to the car of your dream. Call our very own Jimmy D at 855-567-STAR or email him, jimmyd@starlincoln.com, for any of your questions. Be a part of the Lincoln legend. Come see Star's beautifully remodeled showroom. It's the perfect environment to shop, test drive, and then take home the Star of American Luxury Cars. The Lincoln Wishlist sales event runs through Sunday, January 2nd at Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
Well, so good to see Mickey. I know we're going to get a lot of great email, too. That's my favorite part.
I know
people are going to be so happy to hear Mickey's voice again.
Yeah,
in our midst. Yeah, he looks really good. And, you know, I was watching the Kings and the Wings. I haven't watched the Wings game in a while, but the Wings won 3-1 last night. And about the last 5 minutes... There was really not. The Kings were fighting, but you know there were 2-goal lead. Yeah. So I was kind of doing other stuff, and I had the audio on because I want to hear Mickey. And they do it. That broadcast has that sort of companion effect, almost like baseball announcers,
mm-hmm.
and where it's a very amusing, entertaining broadcast. Whether you're really watching a game full time, kind of, you know, in a different way than Ernie, but Ernie was that way.
It's good chemistry.
It is good chemistry.
I didn't realize how much I missed Mickey until I saw him. I love that guy. I mean, I love him.
I know. Everybody loves
Mickey. Honestly, I mean, that's a guy. That's NHL royalty right there.
It is.
And we get him in our backyard, you know, anytime.
I keep saying.
Really so cool.
I feel like there ought to be something in the rafters with his name on it, if not number 20.
Put a mic next to his name. Whatever. Well, I mean, the guy is a stud.
He also scored 177 goals in 350
in one
games,
year.
Which he scored 50 twice.
Yeah.
And two-time All-Star.
Four was
first Red Wing to score 50 goals.
Yeah.
And he has the most goals per game of any Red Wing in Red Wing history.
Yeah.
But he only played in 310 games.
Let's hang him, man. Let's hang him up
I want to hang him up
there. Let's not hang him. Let's hang him
number
up
there.
Oh, God, first a wheelchair, now you want to hang him?
I don't want to hang him. I want to hang his number. And his microphone.
Oh, that's funny. Maz tried to make a wheelchair joke, and Mickey complained of early chin music.
He talked about my hairline. You like how I got him? Like how I got him on Mike Goldberg?
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Goldie.
Goldie. Mike Goldberg.
They call him Goldie?
Oh, yeah.
They did? I didn't know that.
Well, I did at least.
What's he doing now? Isn't he doing UFC?
He does UFC. Yeah, he does good.
Yeah, he's doing something crazy. Hey, Adam Sandler is coming to the Fox.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Yeah, that's that show. I think it's the show that is on Netflix, isn't it?
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I still love Adam Sandler. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I do.
His Netflix special was really funny.
It was good.
And it was a pleasant surprise because, you know, people have been ragging on his work for the last couple of years.
Oh,
but
boy.
It's legitimately
seems like
really
the last,
good.
I feel like people have been down on Adam Sandler for a long time. Maybe I'm wrong, but it just seemed like
I didn't care for him trying to make The Longest Yard again. Sorry.
I'm mad at him because of a
I'm
role.
Mad at him because of The Longest Yard.
That wasn't my... I don't know. He's done a lot of stuff that I thought is not up to snuff with his old stuff. But you know, Brandon and I were talking about the what's the movie?
That's My Boy.
That's My Boy.
That's
one of the more recent ones. That's really, really good. That movie to me, he kind of got back to his Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore roots.
Yeah,
and that's why
did he write
I really
that movie?
He had
or did Sandberg?
You know, I'm really not sure who wrote it. I can look it up.
Didn't Adam write his early some of those early movies?
Yeah, well, I think he's written a lot of the stuff on Netflix that have, you know, people have ripped apart, like Sandy Wexler. Yikes.
Yeah, the Netflix deal, obviously. I've bitched about that Western movie, The Ridiculous Six, about 15 times on the show because it's so bad. I think once he kind of got into the rom-coms and stopped, you know, I really liked that really childish humor of those early movies. I thought they were really funny. I died laughing at Happy Gilmore the first time, in the second, in the 15th time I saw it. Now it's kind of a cult classic for all the golfers. And I don't know. It just, like, at one point, he kind of got too much into the rom-coms.
He did not write That's My Boy, but he did produce it.
Okay.
So,
well, he's here February 8th, and also in other news, entertainment news, Detroiters canceled.
Yes. What a bummer.
Yes.
No, it was a good show.
I like that show.
Of course,
they didn't include Drew.
If they had included us, it would have been better, but it was a good show.
If only they had Drew on it, it would have been renewed.
It's clear why they didn't make it.
Hilarious.
I really like that show.
Maybe another network will pick them up.
I thought it had legs because it's got this whole advertising angle, so it's nothing but product placement. They could do tons of product placement in the show.
Right. And God, was Mort was so good in that role, short little small role that he had. He was
Mort's
going to
be pissed.
I wonder where that ranked on the network in terms of
ratings.
Yeah. I would have thought it would have been one of their better shows at least.
I would have too.
Yeah.
It's a great question. I don't know.
I wonder how expensive it is to make it.
Why? Because it's here?
A local man is in dire need of a kidney tonight, and he's not telling anyone why.
that has a lot to do with it. I mean, if it's expensive to make and the ratings are so-so, you know, whereas if you make a tidy profit, they might hang on to you. But
I'm Mort Grimm, which in French means death and crime.
I bet you another station might pick them up.
Who? You know who pissed me off?
Netflix?
Dale Stern, the principal of Diana Lewis Elementary. Yeah. Who permanently canceled Pizza Fridays. Now, if pizza's not healthy, how come I've never seen a fat Italian? You, sir, are a pepperoni.
I guess it did have low ratings.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Dropped from 500,000 average to 354 between seasons.
But for Comedy Central, I thought like a 1 million was a big number. Like, South Park has always been their number one show for the last 20-odd years.
What does South Park do in an episode?
I think right now they do about 1 million.
Really? That's all?
Well, I think that's all through some of the channels. According to their Wikipedia site, where you can go episode by episode, they used to be in like the 3.5s, you know, when they were in the early seasons. But I think a lot lately have dropped to, you know, maybe 1.2, but that's considered good.
Just because people don't watch TV as much, or just the show maturing and people dropping off because they're not as dedicated?
I don't know. I'm always wondering about Nielsen ratings and how everything, especially now that everybody streams and everybody TiVos, you know, on demand. Like, I watch every South Park episode, but I watch it 2-3 days late.
Do people talk about South Park the way they used to? Because we used to, you know, it just seemed like it was a time when everyone talked about every South, I mean, at least among us. It was always talked about. It just had a lot more, it was just more in your face.
In the zeitgeist?
In the zeitgeist. That's the word I was looking for.
It's still, to me, it's probably the most, it's the funniest show about current events.
I agree. It still is, but it just doesn't seem that it gets as much chatter as it used to get. I, you know, maybe I'm just wrong about
that. I think
that
in the early episodes, though, people were shocked. You know, the people were shocked when Cartman was feeding, you know, some kid's parents to him in a bowl of chili and stuff like that. There was just certain things on TV that
we know what to expect from them now.
I can't believe they did that. And I think a lot of that has to do with the cancel South Park promotion that they did this year. They just said, hey, cancel us. And then the first episode, they make fun of school shootings. I mean,
this is from an October episode, but 966,000 total viewers, 0.6 rating for 18 to 49.
Wouldn't you think it'd be higher than that?
Yeah, it feels higher than that.
It does.
Now, by comparison,
if I ask people about it, a much larger percentage than that would say, yes, I saw it.
Well, it's still number 3 for the top 25 original cable shows for 18 to 49. That at that moment.
Yeah.
So
what are the others?
Do you really care?
I do.
American Horror Story on FX and NBA preseason something.
You have to understand that a lot of these ratings are going to go down because of the Netflix, because of the Amazon and the Hulu.
Yeah.
Those eyeballs are no longer all on Nielsen ratings anymore.
Brandon, did you read the you sent the prep, I think, of the Netflix top shows and the Netflix top movies of 2018. We're getting a lot of lists now because the year's wrapping up.
I saw the flops.
Oh, the biggest movie flops?
Yeah.
I don't even remember half of those films. Maybe that's why they flopped.
I saw the 12 biggest movie flops of 2018, and some of them were still big movies.
The movie flops were interesting. The one that really caught my attention was Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is the prequel.
People hated that
movie.
I actually thought it was kind
of
good.
It did make a lot of money, but not Star Wars money, so they called it a flop, and I thought that was actually a good item to have on the list for, considering.
$350 million it made, that's still a lot of coin.
Yeah, but not like a usual Star Wars movie. It was a flop to the Star Wars world. It probably was a floppy.
It made $400 million and only had a budget of $250 million, so it still came out $150 million on top.
Yeah,
but Oprah's movie bombed.
Yes,
which movie?
Oprah's in A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh yeah, absolute.
It made money, but it bombed.
Bruce Willis's Death Wish, which was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's a bomb. Total bomb.
The only reason I got to see that movie is because I went to see, what was it, Game Night? And I couldn't get in. It was sold out, so I had to go to Death Wish. And I'm a Charles Bronson guy. I know that movie, inside and out. And this movie was pathetic.
Jodie Foster's movie.
No, Death Blow, right, Tom?
Death Blow.
Hotel Artemis with Jodie Foster. Bombed.
What the fuck is that?
It sounded like an action-adventure, scary sort of thing. I don't know. It sounded stupid, honestly. But I think they thought Jodie Foster could still carry a movie. Wrong.
Rather have a circle jerk with my dad and grandpa than see this flaming turd of a movie.
Action Point with Johnny Knoxville as a daredevil who builds a theme park. Oh, that sounded dumb. And that was one of the bombs.
Sounds awful.
Hurricane Heist. Life Itself from the makers of This Is Us. People were very surprised it bombed. And when I saw the title, Life Itself, I was like, oh, I'm glad that's on the bomb list. It sounds like a movie I would want to bomb.
Excellent.
Brandon, will you pull up the trailer for, what is it called? What did you just call it? What was it called?
That movie? Life Itself.
Can you pull up the trailer for it? Let's see how dumb it really is. Based solely on a 2-minute trailer.
It sounded really dumb, I gotta say.
You ever gonna ask me out, Will?
I'm just waiting for the right moment.
I'll see you around.
Abby, I'm waiting for the right moment because when I ask you out, there's not gonna be any turning back for me.
Whoa.
I'm not going to date anybody else for the rest of my life.
Hey,
I'm not
going to
love anybody else for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you will.
I'm waiting
for the right moment, because when I ask you out, it's going to be the most important moment of my life. And I just want to make sure that I get it right.
Oh, God, what a dork. How soft.
You know, it sounds like something I do not want to see.
Who would want to be with such a pussy?
It misleads us. It paints one man a hero when he may well be a villain.
Oh my God, he's so deep.
Villain or hero?
Thor. What the fuck is this movie about?
Maybe the heroes and
villains trailer.
Of our
I don't even want to finish.
Are actually just day players in a much
Skip
bigger
the hook.
Movie.
Even I don't want to see it. I'm soft.
I want to see that.
Wait, it's only a minute in. We got to find the conflict. It's about to come any second.
A big, great, fancy.
I would rather take a bus full of hairdressers to see Snoopy on ice than see this film.
Let's get married.
We've been dating less than a year.
I know.
It's got an Inigo Montoya.
I feel like I've shown incredible restraint waiting this long.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God.
It does not look like any conflict is going
to
happen.
That I may not be equipped to be loved this much.
Oh, it's all about love.
Don't take this the wrong way.
All I ever wanted was for Will to marry a woman with dead parents so I wouldn't have to share.
I would rather have a circle jerk with my dad and grandpa than see this flaming turd of a movie.
Wait, hit the hook.
This is the wife saying, I hate you.
I think, Brandon, you're into this trailer.
So strange, not completely random.
I'm so glad that bombed, just so I know I'm not that far out of the mainstream.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
Boy, I look bad.
Where are the kids running up to looking for buying new phones and stuff?
Sometimes.
Where's your wife telling you that phones must stop?
It has that Olivia Wilde. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's really hot.
Beautiful.
And then the dude in it is the guy that plays Poe in the new Star Wars.
You know what? I was having a hard time with the Netflix top shows list. And went, wait, these aren't the shows I watched. And lately I've been going to Netflix, by the way, and going, there's nothing on Netflix. Does that happen to anybody else?
There's tons on Netflix.
There's a lot on there, but there's not a lot that, I mean, frequently I'll get a tip, hey, check this out, and I'll go to Netflix and I'll watch it within the next couple days, or a documentary or a series, but it just seems like maybe I go to Netflix too often. I don't know. Anyway, On My Block, Making a Murderer 2, 13 Reasons Why Seasons 2.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Last Chance You.
Did anybody watch Last the Chance Making, you? Wow. Making a Murderer, the second season?
I did
no,
not.
No, because I saw the first season and he's guilty.
Yeah, I thought the first season was crap.
No appeal for me.
I was interested in it, but I just felt in the end they withheld a lot of information and it was done a certain... I just was annoyed by
After
it.
After I watched it initially, I thought, oh my God, this guy is so innocent and he's being set up. And then when you read a little bit more into it afterwards and this, stuff that this they is omit...
The, whenever I argue with people, they go, well, look at that DA, he's such an asshole. And I said, yep. And you know what? And he still beat those two really high-priced attorneys, defense attorneys. So do you think they left something out that maybe the jury saw?
I felt they definitely did because I read a lot more about it afterwards.
Of course they
did.
And
I was pissed off. I felt like I just wasted all those hours watching that and getting worked up a couple times. Anyway, Bodyguard was number 5, Fastest Car number 6, Haunting of Hill House, Annie with an E, Season 2, Insatiable and Orange is the New Black, Season 6. And none of those were in my wheelhouse. I don't know.
Stranger Things wasn't on there.
Stranger Things.
I watched the first season of that. Yeah, it was on there. Stranger Things was...
No,
13 Reasons Why. I'm sorry, I got that mixed up with Stranger Things. I did see the first season of Stranger Things. What's the one about the mass murderers?
It's like where they profile Manhunter.
Manhunter, yeah. That was really good. Yeah. They haven't had season 2, have they?
No.
Slow down already. And also the one about the Bhagwan, because they had the top movies, Kissing Booth, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and Roxanne. We used to have a Roxanne. What happened to Roxanne, our listener? Remember Roxanne?
Yeah, I do. I remember her.
Where'd Roxanne
a Seinfeld fan, remember?
Yeah, Charlie and I went to lunch with her.
That's right. Whatever happened
Where
to
are
Roxanne?
You, Roxanne?
Where are you?
Drop us an email.
She doesn't have internet.
No, Roxanne has internet. Anyway, I was surprised that the Bhagwan thing wasn't anywhere in there. That was great. And also that crazy one about the pizza guy, guy.
Evil Genius.
That wasn't in there either. How could that not be one of the top
That was one of the
things?
Best of the year.
I thought so.
How about Ozarks? Ozark wasn't on there?
Meh.
You know.
Ozark with Justin Bateman.
I got to tell you.
Jason Bateman?
Did anybody lose steam in season 2?
I lost steam in season 1 on that show.
I was losing steam in season 1. I ran out of steam in season 2.
Did you?
And I love Jason Bateman, and I like Laura Linney, too.
Oh,
I do,
was
but
great.
The story just got so dumb. I don't know.
It did, but I still enjoyed it.
Well, anyway, it didn't make the list. So I don't know.
Can't
I feel like I'm running into some conflicted territory with Netflix these days.
How about Narcos? That's not on there either?
Narcos was not, and they talked about that because the people that like Narcos love Narcos. Yeah. And the same thing with the one with Jason Bateman. What's it called again?
Ozark,
yeah. A lot of people love it, but it did not make the top 10. I was shocked.
I am shocked.
Right now on Netflix is American Meme, which we watched, spent a lot of time with, so that one's worth watching.
Definitely.
People are looking for stuff.
That was great. A few comments on the porn-demic, too.
Oh, yeah.
We were very intrigued by that.
You know what? I totally flipped yesterday, too. After the show, when I
know. I would like to have been a part of porn-demic. I wish you would have waited for
AIDS?
I wish you would have waited
for me. It's available on Showtime. You can watch it after the show upstairs.
Okay.
What did you flip on, Brandon?
Well, I never watched the final 10 minutes of it.
I didn't either, until after the show.
After the show, during yesterday's program, I kind of dogged Mark Wallace quite a bit. I still think, I don't know how to feel about it. But after we watched the last 10 minutes of it, and you see all these different conspiracy theories how he might not have been responsible for it, and I kind of just felt kind of mean for
There's so many different red flags with him.
Yeah, I guess.
I thought it was sort of weird that, you know, he said he was living in a trailer and he has no money and he's about to be basically on the street.
He's got AIDS.
20 years after he allegedly infected all these people with AIDS.
I live in a van down by the river.
You mean tell me this guy couldn't find anything else to do now that his dick can't be in movies?
No, it was
nothing else in 20 years he can figure out. He's my age.
He's basically an agent for his dick. And so once his dick lost work, he couldn't get another dick to be an agent for.
I'm afraid you're right.
I got a great client I want you guys to see. He just plops it out on the table.
He looked like such a tool, too, with the ponytail.
Yeah.
He was so into himself.
And he gave a bunch of people AIDS.
Seems like
we saw the scenes.
Brandon says it might not have been him.
Well, they got into a bunch of conspiracy theories, and there was a guy from somebody who...
Yes, I love how you take sides, even though you didn't watch it.
There was a guy who worked at the clinic who backed him up.
I love porn. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Hooray for AIDS!
What's your thought on AIDS?
AIDS is bad.
That's really what the documentary was about.
AIDS is bad. Porn is good.
Amen.
All right.
It's too bad the two got mixed up together.
It is a shame.
It was unfortunate.
It is a shame.
It was terrible. And it was
that
really
catches HIV.
So surprising, too, that the two would intersect at some point.
Especially when the roaring 90s gave you the anal and the gangbang.
There you go.
Maz, can you handle these two sponsors?
Whatever you want.
Who's got AIDS?
Just these two, and that'll wrap us up.
One's for AIDS.
Oh, good. Well, of course, we all know.
You want a drink besides me?
What? Yeah, I was going to go grab one. But
what do you want, Diet Coke?
Yes, please.
Already?
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good.
Thanks, Drew. We all know the best way to support the Drew and Mike podcast is to support our local sponsors. Our studio sponsor and good friends, of course, DealsInTheD.com, the entire Zot Auto Group, who put on a hell of a Christmas party this past weekend. Thank you to the Zots.
Did you go?
I didn't make it. Because I know how good it was. I was there last year, and I saw how many prizes they gave out. And
it's amazing the things you review that you have no part in.
I'm sorry. Anyway, DealsInTheD.com, the entire Zot Auto Group, want to give you a couple more reasons to support our sponsors while supporting the podcast. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota. Make buying or leasing your next or new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV fun, exciting, and hassle-free. Plus, they have massive inventories full of the hottest models. They're also ready for immediate delivery. Zot Auto also has the lowest prices, lowest payments, and best interest rates. Great website, by the way, where you could figure out your own payment as well. So if you want to know what a price of the car is, you can go on Zot Auto and figure it out. So head out to any of the Zot dealerships, pick your next vehicle, and have fun doing it. Also, don't forget to tell them that Drew, Mark, Trudy, and myself, of course, and Brandon sent you. Finally, if you're too fat and lazy to get off the couch, head over to DealsInTheD.com and surf their sensational deals and massive inventory right now.
Why couldn't you make the Christmas party?
Because things just happened as the day progressed. It was later in the day, and we just couldn't make it by the time the
what
party.
What happened? What got in the way?
Well, there was a few things. Something suddenly came up.
Did you still want to go? Or?
I did. The kids wanted to go as well.
What happened?
I just did not feel
good. All a lie.
Oh, you didn't feel well.
No, I didn't feel good. Matter of fact, I had to take yesterday off.
You did?
Yeah. I could hardly get out of bed yesterday.
What do you have?
Well, I had a migraine that became just dizzy spells, and I went to get my eyes checked, went to the chiropractor, did all that kind of stuff yesterday.
You got hepatitis.
I feel good now.
Wait, you called in sick to go to the chiropractor?
Well, I could not see straight. I could not drive.
How'd you get to the chiropractor?
He's right up the block.
Did you drive there?
I did.
Well, that's a dangerous drive.
Well, I kind of, pretty easy to get.
Is someone not feeling well?
So basically, all you had was a headache or a migraine. No, yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be
a migraine.
What, I just wanted to make sure you weren't contagious. He took work off yesterday.
Is the second year of Lily's college at risk because Maz is in the hospital with?
No, I'm not in the hospital this time. Just the migraine.
Migraine?
He took yesterday off because he had a migraine.
Don't feel good.
Wow, I love that drop. By the way, I swear there are times where I just feel the same way. Like I couldn't say it any better than he said it there.
Don't feel good.
I remember
it can be
once
mental or physical.
What
and
time
I just,
is it? Because I'm hurting.
Bentley, or not Bentley. Ty and I talk about this was years ago at Riff. One day you walked in, you go, "I have a general sense of malaise," and I can't tell you how many times I've used that. It's a great way to express how the day's going. I have a general sense.
But that's
of malaise.
The way when I call in sick next time, I'm just going to use that line.
A general sense of malaise.
A general sense of malaise.
Just a real blank feeling. That's a really horrible thing.
It's terrible.
It's definitely a mental health
someone
thing.
Someone not feeling well.
We need to start a charity for the general sense of malaise.
I remember hearing about people taking, usually females, sorry, it's just who I heard it from, taking mental health days.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, God, chicks are pretty smart like that. I mean, I sometimes you do need a mental health day.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
What good are you if you're not going to be any good at work?
I agree.
What the hell good are you?
So shouldn't we get mental health days? Shouldn't that be part of the progressive new way of thinking?
A lot of people do get them. I can't tell you how many friends I have. They're like, I'm not going to work tomorrow.
Here's the thing.
You're not going to work
sometimes
tomorrow.
Sometimes you have a lot of days off, and you know what? Sometimes they don't carry over. You have to use them or you lose them. So sometimes if you feel very, very good, you take a day off and you call it a mental health day.
I'm not talking about one of those days. I'm talking about like literally taking a day off work that doesn't count as a vacation day because you need a mental health day.
But you get
paid for it. Taking a vacation day, you've earned that. That's your vacation is feeling shitty at home.
Okay.
That's not fair. Right. Sorry, Brandon.
No, I'm just, I don't believe any, I don't know any company that gives a specific, what's quote unquote, a mental health
thing. Can't you just call it a personal day?
The companies, they just call it that. The companies don't call them that. The women that call and say, oh my God, I'm on my period, I feel sick, I got cramps, and they just go, oh, I don't know.
Oh, stay home.
Just take a sick day, jeez.
No one wants
that's
to
what
see
I'm saying.
That.
They all use sick days for that.
Period.
Now, Drew, I didn't get a chance to finish our reads until you came down
what?
Here. So I got the
oh
whole,
my God.
I want to tell you about David 45 Hall.
45 minutes went by, and we didn't get through the two spots.
45 minutes.
I had to grill him why he missed the Zot, the Zot Christmas party. I still didn't get a good answer.
I'm surprised that the, I believe you're the number two salesman at the site.
Yeah.
And you weren't at the Christmas party?
I couldn't make it.
One of the perks, I guess, of being number two.
Listen, that wasn't a perk. The perk is to go. The perk, it's not a perk to not go.
Why don't you go then?
I already told you.
You said things got in the way.
Yeah, Mark, why you gotta put me on, why you gotta put me on the spot
I'm
like
this? I'm curious
this?
About your life. I've always been curious about how you operate. Isn't that obvious?
Things, don't start fighting with me.
Things happened as the day progressed. It's an hour and change away.
Did you have a general sense of malaise?
I did. I actually did. The next day, I called out. I didn't feel
end
good.
End of story. That's all you that's need it. To say.
I was thinking that somebody good. Had cheerleading practice or something.
No, no, there was none of that. There was early. Earlier in the day, we definitely had all of that covered. But can I tell you about our friends at Hall Financial?
Please do.
They did it, folks. The team over at Hall Financial secured their 500 5-stars, and they're still climbing. So if you're looking to purchase or refinance your home, you'll need to call our friends over at Hall Financial. They really are the best, averaging 14 days for closing, answering calls and emails on the weekend and at night because they know likely how busy you are and how you work on even skipping a payment there. Wish home prices continue to rise. Now's the great time to refinance. So check this out. Check out Hall Financial. Check out all these reviews. Here's a review. I was a first-time home buyer. I didn't know anything. Chris and Nathan took their time to explain every question I had and answered all of my emails and phone calls day or night. I would highly recommend Chris and Nathan to anyone who was a first-time home buyer.
Is that who you worked with, Chris and Nathan, Maz?
I did. They were terrific. At first, I called David. And then David took over and sent me over to them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty highfalutin. You called David himself.
Well, Dave's our guy.
He is our guy.
All right. The team at Hall Financial is extremely client-oriented and upfront about everything. But they don't take it from us. But don't take it from us. They didn't take it from us either. Experience a 5-star mortgage yourself. Go to DrewAndMikePodcast.com. Click on the Hall Financial button to get the special Hall Pass. That's just for our listeners. And call Hall Financial today. Find out the details and receive unparalleled 5-star service on your next home loan. 248-308-5000. Is that 308 or is that 306?
It's 308.
308-5000. Be sure to tell them that Drew and Mike sent you NMLS number. Do you remember the number?
Is it 1467435?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've
read it quite a few times.
The Hall
of Shame.
Thank you, David.
The Hall of Shame was in action last night. We should take a look at that in a second. I just wanted to mention something I remembered. I think tomorrow morning, if those of you who listen to it early, I think Matt is on with Amy Andrews on Fox 2 at like 8:45. Mm-hmm. So if you're just for the hell of it, well, it's always nice to see Amy anyway. And Amy will be...
Do you think Matt will take control of that room?
I don't know. He might be overwhelmed. I don't think so, though.
Because he doesn't always. Dan Miller keeps him in check. Don't you think Dan keeps him in check? Matt takes over a room. It's impressive.
They have, you know, well, on TV, a segment's only so long. It doesn't matter. He could be talking as long. They would cut the commercial in the middle of a sentence if they. I mean, that's just how it is.
Personality just takes over.
That's true. He'll take over the room, I would say, every minute except for when he's on TV because it's beyond his control at that point. But Amy will be bartending with us for at least a half an hour, I think.
Oh, yeah. And then Erica Erickson.
Yeah, double E, double A, and double E are both going to be there. And, wait, Elric's with us, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elric's hot. Elric gets the...
piece of garbage.
He sounds hot. Yeah, the piece
crazy.
Of garbage.
Garbage.
The human piece of garbage, you know, Elric. And who knows? Maybe he'll have a podcast in 2019.
Yeah.
Maybe we're hopefully. Still talking.
Let me tell you something. You want to go right now? Okay, you want to go right now, Elric?
He's been one busy man.
He is busy.
He's redoing parts of his home. Did you know that?
Oh, he's got a lot of projects going on, personal. Well, I won't describe that project. Yeah. I don't know if he wants, how many visitors he wants for that. Yeah. He knows what I'm talking about.
He's going to be on the Drew. We talked about that project as well.
Well, what a sports fan he is. I didn't realize he was such a huge fan.
He's at almost all the games.
And he plays hockey, too.
But one of the things he's doing with his home in Detroit is he's putting solar panels on it.
Is he really?
Yeah, and doing a lot of the old rewiring. That house, he said that house is almost 90 years old.
Yeah. He's been in that house for quite a while, too.
English Village,
raised two kids there. Mm-hmm. He's got his kids going to school. So.
We have some friends down at an Indian Village there. Ooh. Those houses are just... They're amazing, those houses.
He's in Indian Village, isn't he?
Come on, your house sucks.
I just didn't know why you brought that. You never been to MLS?
East English.
You never been to his Smiths party?
No, I've never been
party?
To MLS, no. What party?
He has the Smiths cover band once a year. Actually, I think
you can't
this year,
go, you'll have a general sense of malaise.
I do.
Did he have a Clash cover band this year? It was a different band, a Cure cover band, I think. Mm. He's a new waver all the way, true to my heart.
Drew Wave.
And his colleague, Rob Walchek, oh boy, it was an ugly Hall of Shame piece last night as he put a charter member, he pushed him further into the Hall of Shame.
There is one part of this I just laughed out loud about, and it goes, it's probably, 4 minutes into it, when he shows a picture of him in Granholm.
Oh, yeah.
That is an amazing twist to the story that I hope this guy watched the piece last night.
This guy's quite pissed.
I kind of wish Rob would have said what he says in the piece to him directly, but I think it's better that he didn't in hopes that he was watching it on TV last night.
Don't you wish everyone that hires a contractor would watch at least one Hall of Shame piece so that nothing else, they would make sure these people had a license to do what they do?
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah. Along with a few other things, like don't pay people too far in advance. They'll just fuck you. And also,
you got to maintain some leverage.
You know what? You know what else I noticed in a few of these stories, and it never dawned on me that you would be stuck paying subcontractors.
Yeah.
In other words,
they can put
a guy subcontracts shit out. You pay him, he doesn't pay them, and then they come after you.
Yeah.
So you're double fucked. But anyway, this was this prick. I hope they throw him in the can.
A bad temper, and he sure wasn't happy to see me.
A great production.
Always.
John Kraft thinks he's going to get me to back down.
Get the dude away from me now.
Hey.
No, John, get out of my face.
John Kraft thinks he's going to get me to lay off.
You got nothing better to do with your ass. I'm just going to kick your ass for a god.
But I've been dealing with con man contractors like John Kraft for years.
Get the out of my face.
Ooh, he made Walchek flinch.
In fact, I've been dealing with John Kraft for years.
How about you get out of my face now?
Hey, man. John Kraft's antics have gotten him a lot of unwanted attention. And now, in front of the Canton Home Depot, John's antics are once again drawing stares.
I'm so mad right now, and we're curving. You guys can go about your business, please. Seriously. It's not a free show out here.
You're He's wrong, on his phone,
John.
Mark. Did you
it
see that?
It is a free show, so let's raise the curtain. This
is he yelling at customers?
Katie works
yeah, he
bank.
Was for
John
them
is
watching.
A disabled veteran who served in Afghanistan. Last year, Katie posted to a Facebook page that she needed some bedrooms built in her basement for
oh,
her
boy.
Kids. She got a message from a guy named John Kraft.
I'm a contractor looking to reach out on my own. I'd love to have a house that I can make a showpiece.
Wow, perfect. John drew up a proposal and the couple accepted it. Within the first few weeks of the project, they paid John Kraft $10,000. John had a good crew and things were going well. So they paid him more money. Then it all changed. There was now no crew, just John.
We started seeing him every day, and then every other day, and then 4 hours a day, twice a week, and then it was every other week. People in his family were dropping like flies for funerals. He was in the hospital in the worst times of court. It was just lots of excuses.
Soon the subcontractors John hired were threatening to put liens on their house.
We paid for the egress. He never paid the egress guy. We paid for the HVAC work. They started calling us if we never got paid.
Even though Sean and Katie had now paid John more than $20,000, he said he needed more money for materials and told Sean,
if I pay more, this is going to hurt my family. What about our family? I served my country to take care of my family. She goes to work to take care of the family. We do a lot for our family. So what about our family, John?
The couple fired John Kraft and hired other contractors to finish the job, who told them, John Kraft, that guy's a crook. In fact, while he was working on their house, John Kraft was actually on probation for taking money under false pretenses and working as an unlicensed contractor. Katie contacted the Hall of Shame, and I sure remember John.
This is a contract, and you're not a licensed contractor, dude.
In 2008, I dubbed John Kraft the Cub Scout contractor because many of his victims were parents of Kraft's kids' friends in Cub Scouts.
If you can't trust a Cub Scout, Dad, who can you trust?
Kraft's victims in my first story were scout parents, school teachers, and a guy fixing up his house for his daughter.
He got me. He was good.
They say you charged them for work he didn't do, and the work he did do was bad. John was already on probation for false pretenses.
Did I ever have
and
sleeves?
After that story aired, Kraft was arrested and pled guilty to violating probation. After that, Kraft was back in more trouble, pleading guilty to felony embezzlement. I tried to talk to him before he went to court, but he blew his stack.
Get the f*** out of my face.
John was chastised by the judge.
You are an unrepentant and serial con artist.
Kraft was sentenced to 1 to 5 years in state prison.
I just did a commercial for Kraft.
He got in more trouble. In 2013, he pled guilty to felony larceny. And then last year, he pled guilty to taking money under false pretenses and working as an unlicensed residential builder. Then he took on Katie and Sean's finished much of the work, John's handiwork is still around. Like this room he started to build with things inside that are too big to
This
was
something I would do.
He put up the frame with the refrigerator in here, and you can't even get it out.
He didn't measure properly.
Chat with John Kraft.
Hey, John Kraft, how you doing? Uh-oh. What you been up to lately?
Get away from me. Get the away from me now.
Hey.
No,
John,
get out of my face.
Hey, I've
had enough of you.
John,
I've done nothing wrong.
John, I have done nothing wrong. John,
get out of my face.
John.
Get out of my face. You're pushing me past my limits.
Okay, look.
Get out of my face.
Can I talk to you?
No.
I haven't even had a chance to say anything yet, but John knows why I'm here.
No, you don't understand, dude. You have no idea what I've been through with it.
Dude.
No clue.
Well,
like, to the point.
No, he's
got
a good clue what you've been through.
Well, I don't want my neck snapped, but I do need to mention that one of the things John's on probation for right now is working as an unlicensed contractor, and he took on Katie and Sean's job.
Is that a contract?
You don't even know. See,
you're working as a contractor, right?
I was working as a guy to do some work on her basement.
That's a proposal. That looks like a contract, right?
But she knew I was not licensed.
I don't think that matters.
No.
Does it?
I'm a guy making a living, and you
made ripped her off anyway.
I made it hard for you. You keep getting yourself arrested.
This gets Kraft cranky.
You got nothing better to do with your time. Someone's gonna kick your. I swear to God.
Why have you continued to get
drunk? You know what? Now you're just.
I'm just asking you.
Get the out of my face.
Don't hit me. You're on probation, man. You'll get
in big
trouble.
At this point, it's almost worth it.
No, come on.
I've done nothing wrong to this woman, except for couldn't get the job done in the time
that.
Okay.
Okay.
This guy's going to need a new truck. Scratching the hell out of it.
Yep, he is.
There you go, Tommy.
Is that a Ford
John
brand
is
now?
A combative guy. And now his customer,
it is a Ford
guy who actually saw real combat in the
military
give
me this guy's number?
Spouse,
yeah.
Say,
good point.
John ripped them off. I would just like make sure those people
is that your takeaway from the story?
Absolutely. Could, especially because.
But I'm not giving her back $25,000. That's what you got to understand. That's about all the money she gave me. And I got months into that project. I got subcontractors that were paid. You know, guys that I brought in to help me. Labor paid out. I'm not giving her back $25,000. And now she's trying to sue me for $45,000.
It still sounds like you're pretending to be a contractor, though.
No, I was not pretending. She knew I was not a licensed contractor working on that project.
That's not what Katie says. And remember, John's been busted for this before.
Yeah, okay. I got caught up in an unlicensed builder situation, which was the funniest. It was a law in the first place.
John doesn't like the law, and wouldn't you know it, I'm the guy that helped get it passed. That's me with Governor Jennifer Granholm.
That's the part I was talking
John
about.
John like me even more after seeing this video.
This. Because okay. You're going to paint me any way you can paint me to make me look bad. I know this.
I'm not going to paint you any special way to make you look bad. You keep getting arrested, John. You keep getting in trouble. I keep getting contacted by people. I got no beef with you personally. I don't want to chase you around.
I love the slow-mo. He told he was going to do an elbow drop on Rob, and they slow-moed it.
John calmed down a lot.
Of making it into the Hall of Shame.
Charter member.
What a jerk.
I know. What a pain in the ass having people like that running around fucking people's lives up.
Giving contractors a bad name, too.
Yeah.
And there's no way they're going to be able to get the money from him.
No.
No way.
No. No, he doesn't have it. Are you kidding me?
He's not insured.
Didn't have a cent to his name. And what are those stupid metal rods he's throwing into the back of his truck?
Just copper.
What are those going to do?
He doesn't know what to do with them.
Doesn't.
Why he's trying to fit him in somewhere.
He's just acting busy.
I noticed his gut.
You know what line killed me is when he says, well, you don't got nothing better to do than follow me around. Oh, yeah, I'm just following you around for no reason. Bonehead.
And the contractor do a better job.
I think you use too much plaster.
Oof, now you tell me.
I never stop telling you.
So that's what that white noise was.
I'm calling a contractor. Thanks for taking the job. I'm sorry my husband is being so difficult.
Get lost, crook!
That's all right, Mrs. Simpson. Many husbands feel emasculated when their wife must turn to a professional to satisfy her remodeling needs.
Why don't you just kiss her?
I'm gay, but I have a subcontractor that does that sort of thing for me.
I like it to kiss.
Now, don't you worry. Your kitchen will be done in 3 weeks.
2 years later.
When Virginia Woolf wrote Every Woman Needs a Room of One's Own, she must have been talking about the kitchen.
What's the first thing you're going to make in your new kitchen?
How about cooking up some money because this stupid kitchen cost $100,000?
I was thinking of chicken wings.
Those are good, too.
Oh, Homer.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
He's the best.
I know that handyman.
It's such a miserable feeling. The one thing I think people...
I'm emasculated on a daily basis. What are you kidding? I can't even put a light bulb in.
I know. I've always said Rob is my hero. Rob can fix anything. Why can't I be Rob?
Rob can reconnect to the gas line, so we found out today.
Yes. I smell a little gassy.
I was surprised I was surprised Drew was standing after I walked in the door.
I was just prepping away on my phone. The whole house smells like gas. No idea. Dogs are crashing.
Brandon, I opened the door and I was hit with a wall of that, you know, that rotten egg smell of gas.
Seriously? Like, thank God you didn't light a cigarette up.
That's the first thing I did. That's the first thing I said. It was, don't light anything. It was just one of the burners on your oven was turned slightly.
It stunk.
And not lit.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, who knows? It might have been on for 2 days.
Wait for a mom.
Know. Who knows?
It smelled like it.
I wasn't going to notice it anytime soon.
You felt a little lethargic in the last couple of days?
You know, I didn't really know.
Pretty good.
I slept pretty well last night, though. but I was breathing. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, people, I think, have a tendency to pay people more or pay them for the entire job before it's done.
Yeah.
Huge mistake. Because then the list of the things that aren't right, it'll take them forever to get there if they're paid off.
Yep.
Yeah. Bastards. We could spend a lot of time talking about contractors. There's some really good ones, but unfortunately, you know, it's kind of like tech. Have you noticed with tech, there's people, oh, yeah, I can do anything on a computer. And, you know... I know in the course of the podcast, like, gee, I wonder how we do this. And you'll get three people. You got three different answers. And you have to figure out which one knows what the fuck he's talking about. All of them are over my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
And a lot of times they'll contradict each other.
Because, yes. And tell you why the other one is wrong.
Because there's no real right way or wrong way to do certain things.
But when put to the challenge, I feel many of these, quote unquote, tech experts aren't really...
Well, they have their area of expertise.
Yeah, they do.
Technology.
They know a lot.
You need someone who can know a little bit about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's tricky.
That looks like futuristic, beautiful stuff.
I just got a text from Marasso, and it's the same story that Riley was talking about when he stopped by earlier today about the soft news story of the day. Did he mention it to you?
Wait, the soft news.
Involving one of our dining establishments.
Oh, yeah, the crack fries are changing the name. Hopcat. Because crack cocaine isn't funny.
Yeah, it's insensitive.
That sounds delicious.
You know what's funny?
To victims of drug culture.
That's where we went to lunch with Roxanne.
Yeah, I love Hopcat. It's great.
And the fries are great. And I thought the word crack, I was like, wow, those are really well named. I really felt that was a good name for their fries. It was a hook. And
but the crack epidemic.
Who complained?
No one. A bunch of crackheads?
Yep.
I'm a victim of crack.
I mean,
change
really,
your fries' names.
Honestly, were they just looking to get a story written about them, or what? What is going
on? Could be a crackhead.
Could be.
I think so.
It's a good cheap way.
I tell you what, bitch, come join me. We get a crack rock, get a fifth of liquor, and we can smoke all goddamn night and feel better by daybreak. But we're gonna be some broke bitches.
They should rename opioid fries.
Come on.
What? It's a much better name.
Crack is cheap.
Heroin fries.
I make too much money to ever smoke crack. Let's get that straight.
Heroin okay? Potatoes.
We don't do crack. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Crack is whack.
Are you writing down non sequiturs today, by the way?
I did. I wrote a couple down.
You did? Okay.
I wrote a couple down already.
Is this Week in Soft Rock have some nice highlights?
Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
Did crack go the way of AIDS? Like, they were so big at one time. They just dominated everything, and then they kind of just disappeared.
You know, if you watch Intervention, you'll see the crack still out there.
Really?
Yeah, and the people that love it still love it.
Huh.
Well, what's big,
nowadays?
Is it a
niche drug now?
Yeah, it's a niche drug.
What's
I think it
big
is.
Nowadays?
Meth is big, and opioids are big.
Opioids are huge.
You know what I was showing you earlier today? It was I was just going through the newspaper online, and I went in the life section. I don't know why. I was looking for Nolan Finley, and as soon as I hit life, I realized, no, he's not in the life section. Okay. He's in the
opinion
or yeah, whatever. So he had a story about the Maryland Democrat who's going after Governor Snyder over Flint.
Oh, Maryland, really?
Yeah.
What does he have to do with it?
Because they control the House, they can put investigations in motion, and it sounded like a big show to me.
Well, like they always are.
Well, yeah. He's kind of gotten away with it.
Well, it depends. I don't know. I haven't read enough to really know how much I should blame Governor Snyder. He did take a lot of heat in terms of...
He could have done a lot more.
I'm sure he could have done better. I'm sure a lot of people could
but
have.
But is a congressional hearing going to solve it?
Well, that's sort of how I felt.
Well, it's kind of good that they're not letting it die. At least someone should have to pay for this.
I don't know. Every time you see congressional hearing, I just feel like it's just a show. They had another one today with... Was it Google that was in front? Of the House or the
Yeah, Google.
Google was going to be. Did that happen today?
Yeah, I think so.
It always seems like a waste of time. It's just you're right. It's a show. It's like watching a good documentary, except it's not interesting.
Well, remember when Zuckerberg was in front of them? And they had no idea how the internet worked.
What came of that?
Nothing. It made them look really stupid. I told you I was watching that documentary on the 2008 collapse.
Yeah,
Paulson and Bernanke. They were all in front of the. It was either the House or the Senate, and Paulson just said. I knew this whole thing was for show. Didn't really matter what we were going to say. Because they had to be reelected, but we had to save the economy, which I kind of appreciate. It's like, you guys can argue. Everyone can hate us for what we're going to do. But in the meantime, we're going to save the economy by saving these institutions.
Well, I hit the life section by accident. This is going back to crack. And
going back to
there's a story about drug court. Mm. And I'm scrolling down and I'm reading, and all of a sudden I see this picture of this really cute girl, and I realize, well, that's the girl in the story. Boy, she's really cute. It was a very serious issue, very shallow thought.
Sure.
And I just thought, that's interesting. And then I of course, showed you the picture. Look at this hot girl that's having problems with drugs. and
she's hot.
And you said something about, boy, what is it with attractive girls getting hooked on drugs? And I always say the same thing, because when you watch Intervention, you find that there's a lot of really good-looking girls. I can't explain it, but I don't. Maybe Intervention.
Not working on sunshine.
She
wasn't bad looking when she cleaned up. Maybe they go after cute girls because it makes Intervention more interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they do that. Who knows? Although they do have a lot of shit bags on there too. But
shit bags.
But I'm telling you, the really good looking girls who are like 20 who get into heroin, they are the worst because. Okay.
Well, especially if they're hot at one time.
Well, no, and they're still hot. They're 20 or they're 22 or whatever. And I think because no one tells them no and everyone kisses their asses, because let's face it, is there anything better than being a young, attractive girl who's getting tons of likes on Instagram?
Yeah.
They just think that I decide how the world works because I'm hot and I don't want to quit drugs and fuck you and give me money and give me a car and... you know, fuck me for drugs and
Casey Anthony syndrome.
Yeah, they seem to be the most incorrigible, and that's after watching thousands of episodes of that show.
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything. That's my theory is that they're young women, they have the world by the balls, and when they get into drugs, it's very hard to talk sense into them because. They're used to pretty much owning things, you know? It's
big of how hard it is to talk sense into them before and to talk sense into a drug addict and just combine the two.
I think you said it better than I did.
A nightmare.
Ugh.
Catch me outside. How about that?
But we were talking before about the parents that don't want them to be in pain. Like, well, you're not doing them any help by driving them to buy their heroin either.
It is. If you watch the 2018 season or the 2017 season of Intervention, you can get it on demand if you got... Comcast or probably any cable system. Or if you just get it on A&E or see, the new ones on A&E? I think they are. Anyway, you'll find that nowadays when a 20-year-old or even older has a drug problem, it's the whole family's problem.
Oh, God.
It used to be, I mean, this is my experience, is when somebody was, if they had a cocaine problem, alcohol, heroin, whatever it was kind of like, get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, you're out of line. Now, the family, this happens all the time, I swear to God, where the kid's like, I don't feel good, I'm coming off drugs, I need $100. And they're like, no, no. And the rest of them go,
don't feel good, okay,
but don't come to me again. And there was this one kid selling his collection of Nike shoes.
Yeah.
And he's yelling at his mom because she can't find the purple pair.
Goddamn shoes.
Oh, that's the problem in your life right now? You can't find the purple pair of shoes?
Yeah, and the dealer wants the purple pair.
Oh, Jesus.
And he needs drugs. And they tell you, like, I do about $300 worth of OxyContin a day, $100 worth of heroin. And all I'm thinking is, where do they get the fucking money? And then you'll find out, our family is going broke over this drug habit. I'm like, wait, mom and dad are paying for the... Are you fucking kidding me?
Would your money be spent better if you had them in a rehab? Go to a rehab.
Well, they don't want to go to a rehab. And that's why intervention's there.
Yeah.
But
you're going into a rehab.
It just blows my mind that they still live at home. And this one couple, I was watching this one last week, and this just stuck with me. They were like, the father was like, no, we're not giving him anything. Fuck him. He's destroyed our family. Our other siblings, get no attention now. Get him out of the house. And so mom decides, let's move in with grandma.
What?
So he moves in with grandma, starts stealing her shit. Oh, grandma's finding needles all over the house. And grandma's
going, what's this?
No, she knows what's going on. She's losing her shit.
Oh, granny.
So grandma is like checking on him, make sure he's breathing at night. She's nervous as shit all the time. It's grandma's problem.
He's passing off your brat to your parents.
And he's stealing money from grandma.
Oh, man.
I know. But
grandma.
Unfortunately, at that point, intervention is there. Although this guy, it seems to me.
What was he on?
Heroin.
Heroin.
And his girlfriend OD'd during the episode.
Oh, okay.
But he carried Narcan everywhere. So
it sounds like an episode of Breaking Bad.
So they saved her.
Honestly,
yeah,
it's
a little like Breaking Bad.
I mean, Jesse's parents, remember, threw him out. And then Jesse's, remember?
Well, but nobody's parents seem to throw them out now.
Well, since everything we learn is from movies, if you want to get your kids straight, just do, remember Trainspotting? When he came back home, they locked him in the room.
Oh.
It was one of the weirdest, roughest scenes.
Yeah, there's
nothing has turned me off to heroin more than seeing Trainspotting when it came out.
Going, there's quite a few people.
I would kind of want to try it, but I really don't want to try it after watching that.
Why? What happened?
There was a guy on. Well,
disaster.
Yeah.
Hang on, I almost caught the dragon.
I mean, he couldn't get out of the room, obviously. No windows. It's just, you're locked
hallucinations.
Fortunately,
if
you are addicted to drugs or alcohol, you know, coming off of alcohol, if you're an alcoholic, is probably as bad as anything.
Yeah.
You need some medicinal help. And that's, you know, that's the thing in rehab is they try to help you. They might even just give you some Valium to calm you down because you're flipping out.
But how you get over the mental thing of alcoholism after you're done with it, because it's everywhere.
I know. It's
my friend Booger Wheeler got left by a lady, sent him straight to the needle. And he died with his eyes open wide.
Anyway, if you see that story in the life section, really hot girl there.
Yeah.
She's getting
we'll put a poster.
She's getting her decayed teeth fixed too.
Good.
So she's gonna be even hotter.
What a happy story.
Yeah, it was a pretty rough story.
My teeth,
but she's
so
pretty.
Messed up.
So there's that. Did you hear that GM is may close more plants?
Yeah.
Four more plants, two in Michigan.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I dug a little deeper on it. The Lansing plant makes Camaros. They're 33% of capacity. Generally, if you're under 80%, your plant is not making money, more than likely. So, boy, we just can't make a car and make money. Doesn't seem that way?
Well, that's very frightening.
Camaro is not selling anymore, huh?
I guess not.
What about car sales overall? Well, it used to be that you could read.
Well, car sale, you know.
But you can't read the economy like you used to be able to with car sales because.
Well, car sales expanded so much from 2010 to 2017. I mean, it was, was it 11 million to 17 million or something?
Look at the people that aren't driving anymore.
That too.
How many Corvettes can they really sell? I mean,
there's a Corvette plant that's far under capacity,
too. I mean, they're expensive, man.
And then the Lake Orion plant is at 34% of capacity, making the Bolt.
What is a Bolt? I don't even know what a Bolt is.
It's an electric car.
A Volt?
And the Chevy Sonic.
Bolt.
The Bolt.
And the Kentucky plant and Kansas plant they referenced, I think one was a Corvette plant, and the other one, and they're way, what was it, 27% of capacity. It's like, how can they?
Oh, that sucks.
I know, it's really, I just didn't even want to read about it.
Well, that Bolt is a cute little baby. What a tiny little car.
Is it tiny?
Even know they made it.
It's a tiny, it's a plug-in hybrid. Or no, yeah, no, it's an all-electric. Not even a hybrid.
That's why.
It's tiny, but it's 36 grand.
Yeah.
Those cars that you
electric
just spoke
cars
about
are, not cheap.
I mean, what's the Corvette? 75,000?
Well, it's very expensive.
Yeah, but look at this Bolt. I mean,
what's a Camaro these days?
Check out this adorable.
Or do you Camaros are that expensive? Are they?
Or are they?
Maybe they are.
I don't know.
Drew, you should get a Bolt. You look good tooling around in that. What?
I'm not picturing that, but. You know, Camaro though? I love the Camaros.
Sweet, yeah.
And are they going to find these people other jobs like they had promised the other plants?
There's
only so many jobs to go around, right?
This is a terrible problem.
This is not good, right?
I don't know where this is going, to be honest. I thought, you know, when they came up with the second wage, it sounded like we've got a way to make cars and make money. And then, of course, there was complaining about the second wage. And I don't know where that's gone, if they've raised the second wage or if they've got... It ain't working.
You know, I mean, you know how much automation has just taken over stuff. Did you ever watch Elon Musk?
I have it recorded. I do want to watch it. He wants to take over the GM plants, and a lot of people said, fuck him.
Well, that's
that ain't
laughable
working.
Anyway. I think that's just him trying to throw shade at the Detroit 3. But he did say in there, and I didn't realize that he had tweeted this at one time, part of their production output, which he could be lying about because he likes to just make excuses a lot of times, was because their lines were too automated and the robots kept breaking down.
Really?
And they couldn't, he claims they couldn't troubleshoot as quickly with the robots as he could with having actual humans. Which I thought was interesting because everything is always moving towards automation.
As a human, I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Fox 2 did a story last night in the South Line City Council. You know, they have the peeping Tom on the city council who's peeping on a female member of city council.
She has a restraining order.
Yes. Yeah. So he has to sit a certain distance from her city. Mm-hmm. But he's still on city council. What does it take? Why is it? Doesn't seem so obvious that there's certain things that would just automatically you get kicked off of government bodies.
That
or
sounds like
positions.
No more government for you.
Yeah, no
you
more
don't
government
want to shake
for you.
Up the South Lyon City Council though, by removing a member.
I know. Of all the places that it would seem impossible to get kicked off of, South Lyon City Council does not seem like one of them. I realize we have a judge who refuses to go to court, and she's elected.
They don't have a mayor,
they can't do anything.
Do they have a mayor in South Lyon? Wasn't that one of the places?
I don't remember. But he's peeping at another council member.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's cute.
Oh, so you admire his choices?
Well, I thought, I don't know, I guess if he was peeping at someone who wasn't attractive, I don't know, would I think less of him? Or
no, you'd
probably.
Think the same.
Maybe a
really?
Little bit.
Probably would.
She's really? Very,
I think
she's
you
very
would.
Cute.
So there's different levels of peeping Toms in your mind?
No, I just, I don't know, for some reason, I thought he has good taste in people to peep on, I don't know.
Well, he might have good taste.
It's not much consolation. I still want him off city council. Actually, I'm getting to the point now where I feel like these miswired people who do stuff like this, whether it's because there was somebody what were they looking for somebody for? Indecent exposure, I think. Oh, there was there's a peeping Tom on a ladder in Chesterfield Township. They did that right after the South Lyon story. So a guy was literally on a ladder like Belushi in Animal House, staring
great.
At some chick undressing, who, by the way, I immediately thought, oh, I wonder what that chick looks like. I mean, that's wrong to think that, but it would have been nice to include a picture.
Yeah, wouldn't have been bad.
Sorry.
But, you know, secret is good because you could always picture someone in your mind then.
Well, I was picturing the girl in Animal House. I was picturing the pillow fight.
Now, was he jumping window to window with the ladder?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They didn't say. And then Dearborn Heights had a story where a guy at a Walgreens pulls up, asks someone for directions, and they go over to give directions, and he's pounding off in the car. Which is exactly what happened to me playing kick the can as a kid and some guys for directions, and I walked up, and I still remember that he stunk of liquor and his dick was out.
Jack.
And it was like, that man's penis is out.
He was watching you guys play baseball out in the street?
We were playing Kick the Can.
Kick the Can?
Yeah. There's no house burning, by the way.
That's good. No Cracklin' Rosie?
I thought of that when I thought of that story today. No Cracklin' Rosie playing while a house burned down.
Or John Calabrese.
Is that whose house it was?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right.
Did he ever recover?
It did. It was just a small fire, it turned out.
And who cares?
But the guy in Dearborn Heights who was pounding off, all they knew was that he was driving a maroon four-door sedan. I'm thinking, oh, God, what if you're on a maroon four-door sedan and you're a dude and you're not that guy? Bummer. But should they have said, by the way, if he asked a male or a female for directions? Because I thought it was kind of would have been very progressive if they had said,
a male?
By the way, it was a female, or by the way, it was a male.
Isn't it just assumed?
Because he could have been gay,
female.
But I don't know. Isn't it kind of a?
Come on, okay, let's get into your gay mind again, right? You're gay.
Is it fair to assume it's a hetero creep?
Yeah, because
it is.
Get in your gay mind, right?
Yeah.
And you're really horny. Couldn't you just go somewhere else and find someone to take care of it for you?
But there's so few gays as a percentage of the populace. Maybe it's. I don't know. That's a good question. I think once a gay guy finds a gay guy, it's off to the races.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be easier.
But I don't think that's why people are doing it. Aren't they doing it because it's a weird
danger.
Way to meet somebody?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Or maybe it's the right thing to assume it's a hetero creep because it just is better that way. I don't
know.
It'd
be interesting, the numbers on people caught beating off in public, their sexuality.
You know, I'm surprised there aren't more statistics on the... I'm sure they're probably out there if you look online.
Nobody wants to ask those people questions. Gross. Get on your way, sir.
By the way, I would assume that gays commit less crimes than straights. I don't know if I could be completely wrong about that. That would be my guess. And the only reason I say it is because...
That's intriguing.
You know, if I said gays committed more crimes, then that would be wrong for me to say that, because I don't know that. But I honestly think that gays would commit less crimes than straight. Can you look it up, Brandon?
Okay.
I bet there's some numbers.
I'm going to be in your corner on that one.
Don't gay people tend to be more affluent?
I think they do. I think that. I've read that.
I've read that, too.
And
more affluent people tend to commit less crimes.
Yeah, they do.
But what about the gay mafia in Hollywood? Remember the gay mafia?
Yes, they do.
Who was behind the gay mafia?
I know, that term just sounds so funny.
The gay mafia?
It just doesn't sound right, but anyway.
You should have seen what they did to my boy.
No, look what they did to my boy. They massacred my boy.
Go get your shine box.
Then there was the story from Indiana, which is just so fucked up.
What a piece of shit. This
cheerleader who is 6 months pregnant gets murdered by a football player who got her pregnant because he was angry that she wouldn't get an abortion.
Yeah.
Or I think that they waited too long and she was too far to get an abortion.
Well, I don't think she wanted to get an abortion, did she?
I think she did. I think they talked about, well,
okay.
I mean, who knows? He claims that that they both wanted to get it, but she was too far along or something.
Well, that doesn't make
any
sense. Six months?
No, he's lying. She didn't want to. She didn't want it.
You're right,
she didn't want to get it.
She didn't want to get it.
She didn't want to get it. He's trying to make it sound like, you know, she wanted to have an abortion anyway.
Her mother knew she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think she knew he was the father, too. It wasn't a very well-thought-out crime.
No.
He threw a body in a dumpster.
They could have gave the baby away, man. Adoption.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I know. He's an idiot.
But it would have affected his football career, maybe.
Unlike a murder?
Yeah. No, I know.
What a piece of shit.
It's just the weirdest thing to me. The Chris Watts story, I just can't. There's a story about it almost every day, and I just can't stop thinking about that story. And that guy, you know, eventually admitting, "Yeah, I strangled my kids. What are you gonna do to me?" And him going to prison for life, and him just living in a prison every day in a cell, you know, for the next 40, 50 years.
With his boyfriends.
Yeah, maybe making some boyfriends. He probably will, because you know, sociopaths and narcissists like him. For some reason, they do fairly well in prison. It's the new thing to manipulate.
That's the death penalty for sure.
Yeah, that one was easy.
That's when you use it. When it's beyond a shadow of a doubt, you use it.
I didn't understand it. What could be worse than that?
Nothing. He killed his two baby girls.
I know.
And
his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Put them in the big oil drums, and it was a really, really difficult task to get the
bodies
out.
Yeah. I know.
Their
that was just the
off,
worst.
Right? Yeah.
And that, God. You know, it's funny. I actually, even though I've read a couple things about the mistress that didn't sit too well, I mean, you have to feel a little bit sorry for her. He said he was getting it. He said they were getting
divorced. The one who was way more concerned about his missing wife than he was?
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
Who was looking up wedding dresses. Because yeah. I guess they took her
phone. She was lying, too. I mean, why wouldn't you feel bad
for
her?
No, yeah, I felt bad for her.
She's pulled into this maniac story.
Seriously, Chiselle thought she was hot, too.
She's very hot.
Those kinky pictures of her. Jeez.
His boyfriend, not so hot.
There was kinky pictures?
Yeah, there were kinky pictures of her. Selfie she was taking, scantily clad. There were some nudes, which we never got to see. I thought that was kind of bullshit.
It is unfair.
It should be an exhibit.
Part of the story.
It is.
Part of the story.
Why should anything be withheld?
We can't handle it.
Why should
you get the police get to see it, but we don't because we can't handle it?
Because we're not police.
Taxpayers are paying for his incarceration. Oh. We have a right to the nude photos.
Damn right we do.
She was hot. The wife was hot, too.
Now let me see. Let me see some of these lingerie pictures while we're at it.
I can find at least one I know of. Let's see. Because I looked for it the other day.
Of course. Well, you know, you got a show prep.
I'm not proud of it.
Is it this one?
Wait, let me see.
Ooh,
I don't think I've seen that one. Hold on.
Hey. Layla keeps poking at me.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that's real easy to find.
Yeah.
If I found it, it's easy to find.
That's really the only one.
What about the other? No, look on the
can
side.
You blow
there.
It up go so down, Maz can see it. Maz needs Maz pays taxes, too.
I'm a taxpayer.
Maz is paying for the trial of Chris Watts and the incarceration also.
Oh, that's her.
That's his real wife.
Who is pretty? His real life is very pretty.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to see it on your phone, Drew. I just can't get a good view from here.
What's your name? Nicole Kessinger.
There
how about
you go.
This? How about this, Tommy?
Nice.
Wait, who took that photo? Why is that red thing circled?
It's him.
Oh, wait, he took it.
Is he in the background of one?
He's behind. Dope. He's the one taking the photo of her in the. It just looks like a swimsuit. She's in a swimsuit. But she's not facing the camera. She's arching her fanny.
I guarantee you the next picture has his dick in it.
And then bing, diddy, bong, they're off to Acapulco.
Mm. Let's see here.
Unreal.
Yeah, that reminds me, in the background, you see eBay has pulled all the Chris Jackson basketball cards with Eric and Lionel.
What?
eBay pulled them because of price gouging?
No, because they're murderers. They have a thing about, I guess, benefiting off of a murderer. And so they see that as benefiting, not because you're selling the Mark Jackson card, you're selling
Menendez
brothers
them?
Cards.
Just makes
spotted
more,
them.
That makes them worth
so
more.
So that makes
them
worth more, exactly.
Yeah, so sell them on Craigslist.
Did was you it find a, anyone in your collection?
I haven't looked yet. I know I have.
Doesn't
that,
it kind of look like a common card? Like that's one that they
Mark
printed
Jackson?
Out
yeah.
just thousands and thousands.
Yeah, he's
of.
A Nick too, so yeah. You know they print more of those markets.
That's my guy. I love Mark.
Why can't I get this film on my phone? What am I doing wrong?
What about the Menendez brothers, Tom?
I didn't like them. I didn't like them one bit.
I'm going to play some Christmas music while you're looking.
Oh. I'm in the spirit. Hey, we got to get my guy on for Alan Allman, by the way, one of these days.
Alan Allman's producer?
Rob Graham.
Is this a new track? It's a bonus track? I haven't heard this.
Look how happy she is.
Find that picture yet?
I'm dreaming of your
That's a new track,
stupid.
Isn't it?
We played it once before, and I can't find the email. Someone emailed me.
I really like
that. Hey, forgot about the white penis Christmas song.
That's nice.
It's like, yeah, you're right, I did. I'm
if
sorry.
That doesn't get you in the mood, what does?
Oh, well.
I like,
one thing
I like
get,
it in theory.
Only one thing to get everybody in the mood.
God, yeah.
So this production's really good.
Stroke of my, lick of my, suck of my cock. It's the first time for you, so here's what you do. Unzip me and strip me and show me you care.
Are people hearing that
don't
line
go
when they hear the real song?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I know I do.
My pull at my cock.
That's just classic.
The stick.
Yeah,
And how about this titty?
In an oh so awkward way, shifting to and fro. They've been there all day. Smells from your butt stink.
Gross.
Making you uptight. What trouble will be to hide these things if you go out tonight? Oh, dingo balls, make them go.
Gross. What? This lady's terrible.
Is that an X-rated Christmas? I
no,
want that off
no.
my favorite
that's an
things.
Imposter.
If that's on there. Gross.
That's the same lady that did Wide Penis.
She was so good in White Penis.
Wait, is it Wide Penis or White
white.
Penis?
Wide.
I thought it was White Penis.
I thought it was White.
No, see, I just automatically made the song about me.
Let's see your penis.
I guess we'll just have to listen to more of it.
Yeah, let me see that hot penis of yours.
The best part is, too, lovely voice.
Up to an inch of snow.
So you're going to be using the parking lot tomorrow. That means three at Zod.
Easy.
I'm screaming from your wide penis.
It is wide.
You know what the most streamed song of the 20th century is?
20th
oh,
century?
Oh, yeah, I just saw this. Cool.
Copacabana?
20th century, so the 1900s.
Mandy?
Yep.
Birthday?
No,
is it a
no,
Beatles?
No, that's a good guess. It's not
a Beatles,
Beatles song.
Okay.
It isn't.
Is it a song by the Chainsmokers? No.
No, it's a
Bohemian
older band.
Rhapsody.
Yeah, it is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
Bohemian Rhapsody seems to just get bigger, bigger, bigger.
It is.
It's just unique. There's really no song that's like this.
Let's just get this full list here somewhere.
Have you seen the movie yet? Or are you still going to go with...
No.
Gary Graff's
no,
view.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it on demand.
You're going to love it. Trust me when I tell you. You're going to love it.
Where's the rest of the list? Let's see. There's got to be a list, right, Brandon? Is there a list of all this top 10 or something?
So it's the most streamed song from the 20th century this past year?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Hold on. Name most streamed song from 20th century. Well, there was no streaming service before 2000, so it would be in this century, right?
Sure.
It's just the most popular oldie, I guess you'd say.
It looks like numbers 2, 3, and 4 are Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit, Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child O' Mine.
Oh, yeah.
And A-ha's Take On Me.
Take On Me, really?
Gross.
But the story always seems to kind of shift from this list over to the movie. So you know, every time I try to look for it, I just learn
oh,
more about
so
the movie.
So maybe it's a release from the movie makers.
But this is all calculating streams from Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, and YouTube.
Yeah, I would think those 90s songs would be much more streamed. But I wouldn't actually. I wouldn't think. I would think "Smells Like Teen Spirit" or something would be number one. What's the rest of the list, Brandon?
I don't have the list. I'm,
what?
I'm not surprised this is up there, though.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not either.
It's been around.
No, it's a great song. And I know in other places besides here, it's even bigger.
Well, we were looking at, you know, for our post show jam down here.
Yeah.
When there's dueling post show jams, yeah. I was playing the top rock songs on Google Play. Have you ever looked at the top rock songs?
What are they?
They're not rock songs, first of
oh,
all. And if they are, they're classic rock. And Bohemian Rhapsody is always in the top 5.
Nice.
Always.
What are the top 10
rock
songs?
Well, I know number one right now is Panic at the Disco, that I hope song.
Panic at the Disco has huge numbers.
Yeah.
Everywhere. All the streaming services.
Isn't that a Michigan kid, too? That's in Panic in the Disco? I think it is.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think the lead singer is from Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait. The last thing we heard about him was that he's bisexual. No, he's pansexual?
Yeah, pansexual.
Yep, that's right.
He's married, but he's pansexual.
What's pansexual?
He'll sex with anybody.
Oh, okay.
Not just men or women or trans or queer. He'll put it anywhere.
Got it.
Ed Sheeran's Shape of You has passed 2 billion streams.
Wow. Oh, so yeah, this is number one right now on Google Play's rock list. Number two is It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by Johnny Mathis.
By the way, love Johnny. Incorrect correction. And there's nobody from Michigan that I see from there.
Okay. I could be mistaken.
You're making up.
No, you are. You couldn't be. I could be mistaken. You're wrong.
I did hear it.
Can you please be less excited about Johnny Mathis being named?
I love
Johnny
Mathis.
Reaction.
I don't know why. I just love him. I love
him. It confuses our audience to hear someone in the show say that.
I'm sorry, man.
What else is on the list?
What's your favorite Johnny Mathis song?
Oh, there's so many. He has so many. He's like Nat King Cole. I mean, you can go on and on.
Okay, go on and on.
My favorite Johnny Mathis album is the Christmas album, by the way.
Yeah, because that's all he's done are Christmas albums.
What else is on the list? Christmas songs, probably, right?
Oh, there's a lot of Christmas songs. So.
Are Bowie and Bing on there?
No. And that song's terrible, by the way.
Yeah, I like the little drummer boy part.
I forgot. I was in the shower, and OMC was playing something, and the next song was that one, and I just started going, no! Because I was in the shower, and I couldn't change the radio station, so I just started screaming, because I didn't want to hear that stupid song. I don't like Christmas music.
Stop it! You don't like it at all?
Not really. Bohemian
Rhapsody.
If
I have to hear a Christmas song, I do like the John Lennon song maybe once.
That's number four on the rock list.
Blue Christmas maybe once by Elvis.
Please Come Home for Christmas by the Eagles is number five.
That's terrible.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Overplayed. Played out, as Trudy says.
Under Pressure, seventh.
It's okay.
Be All Right by Dean Lewis.
I don't know.
It's a new song. What Lovers Do by Maroon 5. Mm. Don't Stop Me Now by Queen is 10th. I look up
from the ground. This is the rock song?
Yeah. You look away from
me. Oh, yeah! You see there's something you're trying to hide. Woo!
Reach for your hand, but it's cold. You pull away. Why am I not charging you, Brandon?
What's on your mind? Go, Dean!
There's a lot of Queen on the list. Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit is 20th. Immigrant Song, 19. Don't Stop Believing, 18.
Don't Stop Believing.
It's all yours.
Rock on, Dean.
Where's Chances Are by Johnny Mathis?
Hell yeah, this is where it gets really hard, guys.
Wait, here's Bowie and Bing. This is setup.
Great quality.
What are you listening to? I can pull it up here.
Bowie and Bing.
Bowie and Bing. It's cool. They just run into each other and then they start singing.
That's pretty good.
This is my son.
Oh, I do indeed. Is it Craig Ferguson? Didn't he? No, not Craig. Who redid it? The guy we had in the original host of The Daily Show.
Oh, Craig
Kilborn.
Craig Kilborn.
Didn't he cover this with somebody?
Did he? I forgot about that. They
told. They knew
this is throaty Bowie. They just went into it. It's spontaneous.
They knew.
It's crazy. And they segued into Little Drummer Boy at the same point.
Craig Kilborn and Bob Mould of Husker Du performed a parody of it.
And no, you know who else did too? Didn't Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly do it together?
Yes, they did, didn't they?
You can find that one, Brandon. Now we're talking good Christmas music.
Yeah, guess what? I watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer the other night.
That sounds like it should be in your non-sequitur list.
I did, but we were talking Christmas, so I put the sip in.
What discipline?
Ooh. That's a little drummer boy. It's harder than Dean.
A lot, doesn't he? Oh, I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
See?
Well, Ferrell is David Bowie.
He's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in. Go ahead. Come on in.
John C. Reilly in that blue sweater, button-up sweater.
Well, yes, indeed.
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Gee, news sure travels fast.
I think they do it verbatim. Like, there's no joke here.
I think it is so far.
Nice to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Yeah, it is. It's
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Most of the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, do you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon. And the other one with the
Harry Nilsson.
Oh, you go back that far, huh?
Yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a 6-year-old son, and he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the Bowie household Christmas time?
Bowie. Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations, agents sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. Sing the same song.
Yeah.
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You do, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. That's a lovely thing.
Didn't Bing slap his kids around a little?
Yep, he did.
He did?
Yes.
What were they doing that got him in trouble?
Misbehaving. They deserved it.
Yeah. Come, you want they told tools? Me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
Why did they do that?
Our newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
Is Will going to sing the high parts?
Probably.
Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum.
Some radio stations don't play this version.
Peace on earth, can it be?
And that wiggy looks so funny.
Years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. To see the day.
This is like Elvis and Nixon.
It is quite the mix.
It doesn't sound bad at all.
Live in peace again.
These guys
are
amazing,
John.
That's great.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I'm trying to figure out why they did that. I guess because it's just so ludicrous, you didn't even need to change the...
Hardly anything.
The repartee.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like The Room, you know?
Yeah.
You see something like that, and it's just like, holy crap, is that crazy?
If you saw Brandon's prep, then you know about Vince Neil.
Oh yeah, that this goes back to the
the Nick Cage when he assaulted the girl in front of Nick Cage.
Made
and
out
Nick Cage's like, "Hey man, come on!"
That was the weirdest. Stop! Stop! I love you! Stop! And then they're hugging each other right in
that
the middle.
That was so bizarre. That was a strange moment to get out of knocking a girl around. So she's suing the shit out of Vince Neil, claiming all these injuries. They don't show him hitting her, do they?
I didn't see that.
No, but
they just show Nick
Cage
begging him to stop.
Yeah, and then everybody filming.
So she's suing the shit out of him. He's all lawyered up trying to fight this thing, and he's not paying his lawyers. So his lawyers are suing him.
You got to pay your lawyers.
She's looking for what? She's looking for $150,000.
Yep. But he owes his lawyers $187,000. They're putting liens on his home now, apparently.
Wait, he's got to have the money.
All she did is ask for his autograph.
I wondered, Mark, when he went on Cameo.
Yeah, why is he on Cameo?
I know, Tommy Lee's on Cameo.
Well, he just performed Biloxi.
His net worth is supposed to be $55 million.
No way. Well, I don't know.
He's got to have a ton of money.
You would think so, but honest to God, when you see some of these people blowing their dough and declaring bankruptcy, it seems impossible, but it happens.
Shouldn't he be getting some licensing things from, you know, people use Motley Crue all the time.
Do they? You mean for movies and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't you think some money comes in?
I don't, you know, the time is ripe because of when they were hot that you would think they would be licensing stuff. But I don't know, how popular is their music now? Is it stand up?
I still love Motley Crue.
Well, he has been married 4 times. So
yeah.
I'm sure that cut into it.
That's quite significant.
A little bit.
I would have never dreamed any of them could have been in trouble, but I was reading about, it might have been, does Nikki Sixx have a bunch of kids?
I don't know. He's got to have a lot of money because didn't he write
he
most
did write,
of the
no,
songs?
That's right. He gets the writing credit, which, by the way, doesn't pay that much anymore. It probably paid a lot, though, for a long time.
Nikki Sixx has Frankie Jean, Gunner.
Gunner!
Storm and Decker.
Storm!
Decker. Hmm.
Maybe it was Vince. Maybe it was Vince because Vince does have a bunch of ex-wives. But I remember reading about one of them and how they were fighting over maybe it was child support. I don't know. And in the crux of the story was that this, whoever it was, and maybe it was Vince Neil now the more I think about it, was that he didn't have that much money.
Huh.
That his income had been reduced substantially that because they weren't performing. I know, it's pretty strange.
Nikki Six, it says $45 million. That's less than what it says for Vince.
Well, there's no way Nikki has less than Vince.
No.
Plus,
no way. It's not
possible. He's always working too. He's got that other band that was successful.
He does some pretty interesting projects that their fans seem to be interested in.
He's got the radio show that he does that's syndicated.
I know.
What about Mick?
Mick Mars. He's probably the guy that saves his money.
Well, he wrote a few of the songs too, I thought.
He was also like 62 when they formed back in the 80s.
So he's 102 now.
He's worth $40 million, according to my internet sources.
By the way, I couldn't figure out what looked weird about Tommy when we were looking at him in this Instagram dope wife.
Besides the 20.
70
Tommy,
20 years younger.
Tommy looks to me like he's got some alcohol bloat.
Oh wow!
Because I didn't.
Shock.
Oh,
I didn't think he. I've noticed this on people that drink too much. Eventually, it sort of pays it. You
get a
pay the
puffy.
Piper. Yeah, you get a little puffy, and he looks puffy. He doesn't look like he's outright fat though, but he's always skinny. He's always been skinny.
Well, then he timed it at the right time because he just looks like he's aging. I thought he looked like he was aging appropriately because he was skinny.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm going to go with alcohol bloating.
I think
it's
alcohol
way more
bloating.
Fun.
And plus, his kid insists that he's got a terrible drinking problem. So
maybe that's why what was wrong with his face. It was swollen up from Brandon popping him in the face.
I thought his face did look swollen. It was weird. I couldn't figure out. It didn't look like. I mean, he's 56 years old, but something looked odd to me.
Yeah, it's
I'm declaring it alcohol bloat.
That
alcohol bloat it is.
The other thing that looked odd was the 30-year-old girlfriend.
Ugh, I know, who. I would invest in earplugs.
He should have money from the writing credits of this song.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Brandon's song.
He should license this everywhere.
This has to be the least popular Motley Crue song, I assume.
by fans or by band?
The band, for sure. We know it's the band's least favorite.
Well, at least 75% of them.
It does show up on all the lists, all the bad lists for Motley Crue.
It should be on the bad list for every song.
This was a hit.
No. My son.
By the way, are Motley Crue, how do they do on Spotify? Are they one of the big bands of that period on Spotify? Because you would think timing-wise they would be.
Let's see.
They should be.
I'll look it up.
In the meantime.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. What's up?
Look at that bloat.
I hear you guys have recitals coming this weekend.
No, I don't.
So I wanted to wish you all at Columbia Arts Academy, all you music students, to kick some ass.
I want to wish you to
rock
kick some ass.
Rock that shit, you guys. Hey, hey, hey. And happy holidays.
All right, $300.
They get a lot of streams on Spotify.
How much do they make?
They do, okay. I mean, are they ranked? I mean, they must be ranked.
I don't really see a rank, but like their top five songs, 93 million, 45 million, 52 million.
Brandon, how much do they make for that hit?
$300.
They usually give you they usually have a year-end rank on Spotify of all the top most streamed acts.
All right. Real quick, while I
wasn't looking for them, but
while I'm in Cameo, there is somebody that I think that I want to get a Cameo from.
Omarosa still?
No.
Well, Lisa, what's happening? Constantine here.
What?
You're awesome. So
let's buy
talented.
One now.
Oh my God. I don't know how we would recreate that moment. Me being here, you being there, but I did want to send you a special shout out.
Constantine!
Not to be kidding me.
Shout out. Whatever you're celebrating.
Isn't it funny that even people like this can sell cameos?
Maybe you're not.
Actually, you know, Peter Maroulis is going to be on there.
Awesome. You see how in vogue shout outs are now? People are actually paying for shout outs.
Well, that's why we don't like giving them away!
That one's too long. How much for Constantine?
Oh, $20.
$30.
I was going to say 20. Tommy, you got a guess?
I'm going to go with $20.
It is 50.
What?
50? Well,
get out of here. He's not going to sell many.
Get out of here, Maroulis.
He's got a couple already.
Yeah,
you know what was really funny?
Peter.
Remember when we finally had him on and his Peter Maroulis had been calling the show declaring he was Constantine's first cousin for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
Constantine comes on, has no idea who he is.
No.
Just said, there's a lot of Marulises.
Oh. And then he had didn't Peter sheepishly admit that?
Yeah, I think he did.
But he sounded like, just he like sang when he sang
Pearl Jam, and he sounded great. He sounded like he could have been on Idol.
Yeah, besides that, a bunch of the people from The Office are now on Cameo, too. So every day there's someone new.
The Office is hot again now.
I think what it really says is there's a lot of people whose income streams could use some help.
Yeah.
This is my easy money,
honest
man.
Opinion.
Yeah, easy
it is
money.
Easy. You're right.
Including this guy.
It is embarrassing.
What's up, everybody? Matt Hasselbeck here. Excited to announce that I'm going to be on Cameo. So if you want to interact with me,
who's the 12th man
I'll
last
be on
night.
Cameo, give you guys some shout outs, say what's up. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. Talk soon.
Forward. Why would it be a lot of fun?
Because he gets to see his income go up. That's why it's fun for him.
How much is he charging?
100 bucks.
100? What?
Hey, you know what
Tommy
Seattle
Lee? Can
people
I see one more Tommy Lee? They're so trite and cliche. I'm addicted to them for their triteness.
It looks like he smells.
Happy freaking 13th birthday.
Oh, we already did that one before.
Doesn't know who you are.
So stupid.
Yo, girl.
That's the mistargeted cameo of the week.
It's Tommy Lee. I hear you're a huge Motley Crue fan.
Hey, can you not do this in front of the window so you're washed
Chris
out?
Says you're a great drummer.
Can't even see it's him.
Yeah, that's asinine.
Fucking rod.
He's listening to Rush Limbaugh in the background.
Yeah, rock that shit.
Oh my God.
Ugh. Jesus.
He doesn't shower before he does cameos.
No, he does not.
Or after.
We get a lot of email from people who say they get lost in Cameo. It's the strangely
easy,
addictive.
It is.
It's like baseball reference or Wikipedia. You
yes.
just kinda get
it's so dumb.
On the wormhole. I love it.
Nobody else new and exciting on Cameo?
Well,
I thought there was one other one. Do you have a list
there's
up there?
There's a ton of people that are new, but I mean, they're all, I don't know who they are. Who's Cameron Gibo? Who's
yes, can't
Rude
you think of some
Jude?
Old. Out of some old, no longer significant star you want to see on Cameo?
Well, I would love to see Burt Ward, as you know.
Burt Ward? Burt Ward's got to be on there.
Keep going.
It's King Boris. I don't know who these people are.
Taryn Manning, isn't that the actress from 8 Mile?
Yes.
Oh. Wait, who?
Burt Ward would do great Cameo.
He would.
She's from Orange is the New
so
Black.
So would Adam West. Adam West would be getting rich on Cameo.
He really would.
This chick's more famous for Orange is the New Black.
Than 8 Mile? Is that the same chick?
Oh, yeah.
And she's only charging $27.
$27.
Oh, boy.
Hi.
She even puts Snapchat filters on.
Could you get closer to the microphone, please?
Is she doing this next to her dryer?
She's in the laundry.
She is.
Everything will be all right.
I think you left a built-in on your clothes in the dryer.
Okay, the Tommy Lee.
Hey, what's up? It's Taryn Manning.
Go ahead.
Ew.
The Tommy Lee cameo to the 13-year-olds, the worst targeted cameo of the week. That was the worst cameo of the week, whatever the fuck that was.
There's one where she
hey, it's a $27 cameo. You
and
get what
I'm
you spend.
On cameo, so tell your friends.
She's got vocal fry.
Friends and heck, we can be friends. We could do this every weekend.
Why does she look so ridiculous?
She's using filters. You know, Snapchat filters.
Okay.
That's weird that she's only $27. I figure she's kind of one of the bigger
Can you see Burt Ward's on there?
Burt Ward's not on here.
He should be.
No, the travel time's too much for him to do cameo.
He could be doing
He argued with
here.
Us for 10 minutes about why he couldn't do an interview.
And he was so busted.
There, I just requested
How about Jerry Mathers?
Who?
The Beaver.
He's not alive.
I wonder if old people do well in this. Probably not.
I don't see a ton of them.
No Burt Ward?
No.
Really?
How about Butch Patrick? Eddie Munster?
There you go.
Why don't you name someone who's under 80?
I bet he's on there.
No.
No?
Patrick.
He's missing out on income. Maz, we
got
to go.
I got one. Maureen McCormick.
She might be on there because of Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Oh.
What?
No.
Don't we have Butch Patrick's?
What about What about who's the Brady Bunch that was on the show with Married the Girl, Adrian Curry?
Is
it Adrian Curry?
Oh, Pete, you mean?
Pete.
Christopher Knight.
Christopher Knight. He's got to be on there.
Do you want to call Butch Patrick? I have no idea if these numbers are still good for him.
Should we recruit him to Cameo?
Yeah.
You can request people, but no.
Why don't we call Burt Ward and ask him why he's not on Cameo?
No.
All right, fine.
I'm happy to call either one of them.
It'll give us an excuse to open up the David Hall.
Why don't we do this week in Soft Rock first? Yeah, the Hall Financial Hotline needs to be open. That's
you want
true.
Me to read my my stuff first, or you want to do Soft
Rock?
Yeah,
do the non sequiturs first.
Okay.
You know the Hall Financial Hotline, Brandon, just in case we need it? You should click the link to Hall Financial on the Drew and Mike Show website and fill out the online form, and they'll be crunching numbers while the phone is ringing back to you. If you want to shorten your loan, if you want to take some money out of your house, Maybe you want to buy a new home or your first home, whatever it is, or refi. Hall Financial will be happy to work with you.
Nice. Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right. I kind of had these ideas popping up earlier. You guys were talking about Wikipedia. Have you seen the Wikipedia that's popping up and asking for donations
now? Oh, yeah.
To stay alive?
So annoying. I skip by it immediately. Yeah.
They're on kind of, I think they go every, you know, a couple weeks of the year. They
so
really
have you ever given them anything?
Never.
No.
They can't monetize Wikipedia.
How are they
going
to survive?
Wait, why can't they monetize Wikipedia?
Well, they could. They don't want to. They want to keep it free. They want to keep it free of ads.
It's really cool.
Well, I'm not paying my share. Sorry.
You wouldn't pay like $3? It's like,
no,
it's like $3.
Way.
No.
All right. I didn't want to do
I'd
it
have to
without
type
you.
In, I have to get an account and type my car. No. Yeah.
I didn't want
to
do it if you guys weren't doing it. So.
Oh, I'm doing it. I put about $3,000 towards them. So
okay.
You can just do half that.
Okay. Another thing that popped up was Drew's got 19,000 likes now on
Oh, thank you, Maz.
Facebook, and he's looking for 20,000 for Christmas?
Yes.
As a Christmas present?
Yes. Let's see where we are.
Are
right
we doing so this week in soft rock, or are we just doing...
Yeah, well, I'm doing my thoughts first.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were doing. I'm sorry.
Thoughts first.
Yeah, this week in soft rock. Wait.
I didn't know these were your random thoughts from throughout
Maz
the show.
Maz hasn't even gotten hit for a plug today.
No.
He hasn't given one.
Oh.
I let a couple slide.
You did.
Yeah, a couple. I thought about it.
It was in the middle of things.
Well, of course.
It was in the middle of things.
Like what? What did you plug?
I kind of forgot already.
Yeah, there were a few times some names dropped.
We're at 19,055.
Nice.
So we're rolling to 20,000 for Christmas.
Sweet. So you want 20,000 for Christmas, right?
Yeah, I do want that for Christmas.
And you'll feel good?
You'll feel better,
yeah. You'll feel like a hot girl?
Possibly, yeah. I'll feel like a hot little slut.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And I cut in earlier today. I told you guys I watched.
You feel good. You make me feel good.
Actual audio when I get my 20,000.
I forced my kids to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer the other day as part of family time.
Unlike teenagers being forced to watch something by their dad.
They have zero interest.
No respect.
Zero. I mean, I was really hurt, to be honest with you. I really was.
Well, you can come over and watch it with Charlotte because she wants to watch it all the time.
You gotta
it's terrible.
You got to think
Aren't
about it, though,
Tommy.
Your
kids a little older, though?
Well, Maddie's there. You think her sisters were like, you know, fake it?
Did Maddie want to watch it?
She watched it with me.
Oh, did she want to watch it? Who wanted to watch it? Sounds like you wanted to watch it the most.
I like how you're now time vampiring your kids' time.
That's the thing, Tommy. When you were a kid, though, that came on every year, but you only had six channels, so you waited for that to come on. It's been available for streaming.
But they really, truly don't give a shit.
And it's
they
terrible.
Do not. No, it's not. It's wonderful.
No, it sends a bad message. That boss of the elves is kind of a dick.
He is a jackass. He's an asshole. There's a bunch of bullies around Roosevelt. Yeah. But I don't care. Rudolph persevered. That's the name of the story.
Did
freaking bully?
Yeah, they only persevered because they needed something from him.
I have an editorial question. This is radio for one. Did Mickey's interview on Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
We'll get some Facebook views.
Couple of things.
That was as random of a thought as something that Tom would have.
See how social media where I am? I'm just tweeting it out while Tom's doing his
own thing. You're really doing great, Drew.
It just shows you how uninterested you are in
anything
Tom has to say.
And did you guys happen to watch the end of HBO Boxing on Saturday?
Oh, I watched the whole... Wait.
Signed off.
HBO Boxing? Oh, no.
HBO signed off after 40-plus years
of
boxing.
They're done.
And Jim Lampley and the guys, Jim Lampley, they all cried on the air. Jim Lampley literally cried.
Why'd he cry?
Because they were wrapping up 40-plus years. I'm surprised at you. I thought of you guys. It ruined the moment for me thinking of you guys laughing at him.
Lampley?
You can look it up, and you'll catch Jim Lampley. And it's really very touching, you know, because I love boxing, and I loved HBO.
Did you watch the Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury fight?
No, I did not.
I guess you don't love boxing that much.
I do.
How have you been feeling the whole week?
Oh, wow. He's got tissues and everything.
Oh, soft.
This was after the fact, Brandon.
It might be the end of my on-air career.
He'll get another job somewhere.
To me, as high as you could go.
Oh,
boy.
Back it up.
My hand shook. And when I walked away that night, I had to think to myself, why in the world did I get so nervous? And I realized that I got nervous that night because, to me...
Uh-oh.
This was the Holy Grail. You know, this was, to me,
his
as
work.
High as you could go.
I think
to do boxing on HBO.
Remember, he was supposed
his career ascension is
to do a show where
making him so emotional.
With people like
you remember,
Larry
he was
Merchant.
The basic caddy for Howard Cosell.
Why don't you just talk over his crying?
Oh, shut up.
He is moved by his own career ascension.
And finally, another thought I had was...
Are we done with him?
Did he keep crying or was he done crying?
Tom was done with him.
He cries more.
But that wasn't his on-air one. That was his post-game press conference.
Wait, so he cried a bunch of times?
Yeah, he cried on air.
So
did Roy Jones.
Did he show a lot of sorrow for the like cast and the crew members that are losing their jobs, or only because he's losing his job?
No, he cried about people that aren't with them anymore that passed away.
No, he was crying about his own. He was amazed by his career ascension. It made it.
There you go.
It overwhelmed him.
Here it is, Drew.
We thank you for watching. We urge you to continue your support of this purest and most human of all competitive sports. And most of all, we thank the people who poured forth their bodies and their souls.
Crime.
He's going to cry.
Oh, the ones with CTE and stuff?
45
he's
going to
cry here and then later on.
The fighters, they are uniquely precious. And the life lessons they provided for us are timeless indispensable. And here now, for your memories...
It was before this, indelible that he cries more. He cries
the
more.
The worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here. And I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see him again.
Anything about this. I go last. It only stands to reason.
Because
when
I'm Jim Lampley.
Does something like this for this long a period of time, it gradually becomes a family. And this is no exception. I'd be remiss in offering tribute if I failed to identify
the similar
figures who were here from the beginning. So all of you, indulge us, please, at this moment.
No, I think you're, there's enough indulging going on in your head.
Barry Tompkins was great.
15 years before I showed up, and who is still calling fights at a high level to this day. Bob Papa, who for several years hosted Boxing After Dark. Ross Greenberg, who produced this telecast for decades.
We can leave right now.
Before he graduated to the role of arranging fights.
Rick when's he start crying again?
Coming up.
As executive
producer. He's going to talk about the guys that passed away.
Within the next 10 minutes.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
Here we go.
Go home to your mom, darling.
Excuse me. Named Paul Hoggatt. The great Emmanuel Stewart, whom both Roy and Max have already mentioned, still our soulful conscience here. And Artie Kurt, our invisible links to the lives of the fighters. There are dozens of other names which belong here, but time now intervenes. And with that said, at the end of the day, this family was also a business. And
one of the wettest we've ever seen.
They all go to the same house every night?
Inevitable end. Here at HBO Boxing, the end has come. We thank you for watching. We urge you to turn elsewhere.
All right, we are.
Must not have done a very good job if it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
What happened?
40-plus years.
So it really went downhill at the end.
I like to see bad people fail.
I think UFC kind of killed boxing.
Yeah, it did.
No,
but you know what's funny? This was Saturday night.
Yeah.
Now, on Showtime at the same time, they had the Fury-Wilder fight that we already knew the outcome of, and it was far more entertaining than any fight.
So they got their ass handed to them by Showtime.
Showtime's totally
Why didn't he say that? Too bad Showtime kicked our ass.
Yeah.
I'm still moved by my own work, though. Don't get the wrong idea.
Too good.
Okay, Miss, what's next?
One of my last thoughts was Ziggy Ansah.
Yes.
And Michael Roberts, both are done for the year. Injured reserve for the Lions.
Not a sports podcast.
I know, but they're still alive in the playoff hunt.
1.1% or something. They're not making the playoffs.
If you look at the scenarios,
they could.
It lays out for them.
They're going to do it, Drew.
No, they're not going to.
Wait,
do it.
Do you mean tell? Okay, first of all, they're going to lose at least one more game.
You don't
they can
know
make
that.
It at 7-9.
No, they're going to run the table.
Green Bay and Minnesota on the road.
Yep.
Minnesota's done. They just fired their offensive coordinator today.
Yeah, so now they'll score.
Green Bay's done.
God, did he look rattled last night on TV?
He knew he was losing.
I don't know who this dude was.
John DeFilippo.
They kept showing the offensive. Coordinator for the Vikings, and he just looks stunned.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything.
He knew.
Green Bay lose Sunday without their coach.
Oh, they won.
They won
easy.
So Lions winning at Green Bay, you think it's just a fact? Pretty much a given.
Pretty much not. Probably not. But it does.
They're
run
the table.
Nice for them.
And everybody else can win. It doesn't matter. Their Lions control their own fate if they win three games they're in.
No, Minnesota has to lose three.
Yeah, there's all these. They're going to lose to the Bills. They're going to lose to the Vikings. They're going to lose to the Packers.
The Cowboys have to lose a game.
Who do the Lions play this week?
The Bills, right?
Bills.
At home?
No, in Buffalo.
Oh, they could lose that. How many wins does Buffalo have?
Buffalo's in the AFC. It doesn't matter. Buffalo has like four wins. Same as us. Maybe a game worse.
So we probably will lose.
There's a chance. But as we speak, two of your better players are now out for the year on top
of it.
Why
would we make the playoffs if we're losing our best players?
We're not making the playoffs, but I'm just telling you it's mathematically a chance. So.
Okay. I don't know if that was valuable non sequitur worth writing down.
I apologize. Mm.
Okay.
That's about it for my non sequiturs.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes, there's a chance.
Hopefully you can pick it up on this week in Soft Rock.
I think I could. I think it's nicely done. It actually just got sent to me a little while ago.
You know, if the teams that are all favored to win went out and the Lions went out, the Lions are in. They're in.
It's not going to happen.
It's 7-9?
I'm messing with ESPN's playoff machine right now. No, at 8-8. The Lions have to win out.
They're not favored in every game, are they?
No, but if everybody else that's favored does.
That's what I think about the Lions.
How far you think they'll go far in the playoffs when they make it?
Super Bowl.
As soon as they get in. All they got to do is get in.
You'd be so bored.
They're showing a lot of improvement.
No.
Shall I move on and give you this week in soft rock?
Well,
I got that 5/8 feeling. So please, Tom, tell us what happened today in soft rock.
By the way, Layla's eaten almost an entire slice of pizza from me. Okay, so you don't want to maybe not give her a little anymore.
I was not aware of that.
Okay. All right, so this week in soft rock, with the years conjugated in chronological order for you, Drew. Okay, we start in 1966. Brian Wilson's masterpiece, Good Vibrations, becomes the Beach Boys' third Billboard number one hit. And at a cost of $16,000, it was the most expensive single ever produced in music history to date in 1966.
That is not soft rock.
Excitations.
You don't think the Beach Boys are soft rock?
No.
You're kidding me.
Maybe not then. I don't know.
I don't think they're soft rock. Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. It's not hard rock.
It's weird who travels into soft rock eventually. Cause it seems like once you're over 30, 35, you sort of enter that world whether you want to or not. But that was at the peak of their career.
True.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
Rock on!
And the way the sunlight plays upon her.
Really cool song.
It's a great song.
What's that instrument? The theremin? What a sound. Brian Wilson was a genius. Is a genius.
Is this the Wrecking Crew?
Yes. I think so. Glenn Campbell's on this.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's on a lot of Beach Boys.
Wow. Guitar, obviously.
Yes. Hal Blaine on drums. Who's that female bass player in the Wrecking Crew? She's badass. She's playing some of her bass lines. There's a documentary about the Wrecking Crew.
So well known.
Who are the Los Angeles-based studio musicians who play on so many hits, you wouldn't believe it. They played on they did a whole Birds album.
Is that Carole Kaye?
Yes.
Carole Kaye, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do the punchline of this joke, but of this one.
What?
I just couldn't do the punchline.
Really?
You know,
do you think Matt
punchline?
Fell short?
No, I couldn't.
For the Good Vibrations one?
Yeah, here, Mark, would you do the punchline for me? Murray?
Boy, I'm very curious.
Murray Wilson had to be dabba dooba 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 dooba.
That's all.
I'm a genius too. Let's go.
You just got a text message from someone.
I did?
Yeah, they want to know if you're going to be on the podcast tomorrow.
Okay.
Since you put me
are you doing another podcast tomorrow?
I am.
Really?
No.
Cheating on us? Wait, are you? Look Drew in the eye and tell me.
No, I'm not. Of course not.
Did they mean this podcast?
They must mean this podcast, yeah.
When it's downloaded in the morning.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what they mean.
All right, next.
Okay, let's move on to 1967. A 26-year-old Otis Redding.
Well, Matt does all the writing, and Tom just reads it. What happened this week? Genres of music.
All right, Otis Redding is quite soft, right? 1967, a 26-year-old Redding.
Otis.
He was killed along with the four teenage members of his backup
group,
the Bar Kays. His death came just 3 days after he recorded his only number
dock
one
of the
hit,
bay.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
It was number one till it was posthumous, or till he was dead, I should have said. Till it was posthumous.
Sitting on a cock because I'm gay.
The twin-engine Beechcraft crashed just outside of Madison, Wisconsin.
Those pictures
in
are
the water.
Crazy, too. They have pictures of pulling his body out. It's insane.
Honestly, God?
Yeah.
In December in Wisconsin, and it was very cold outside when they hit the water. Apparently, Otis was still strapped in his seat plane.
Yeah, here he is in his seat.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. There's a picture of that?
Oh, yeah. He's got his
what the fuck?
On.
Is there a dock nearby?
Well, it looks like he's well-dressed.
Here they are even pulling though him out of the water. It's just, it sucks.
Apparently, the control wheel had become very heavy for the pilot, who had been in a weakened state.
Due to AIDS?
Due to terrible heroin addiction, and of course he had those AIDS.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
How'd you know that?
So he needed to steer away from the lake, and he couldn't.
He could not.
Wow.
He could not.
He probably pushed it to go downward, and then he was too weak to pull it to go back up.
Probably.
That is wild.
I know.
Wow, brilliant.
Crazy. So we go to 1960.
Well, Matt does
okay.
all the writing.
A little late on these songs.
Just okay. just reads it, what happened this week.
We're never going to get the sponsor.
Genres of music.
There's a sponsor?
Yeah.
For soft rock?
It could be.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's got to go through you.
Was this, I was going to say, was this cleared?
No, it's got
to
go through
you. Does
that
you mean guys. We're tied to this Wait. Bit forever?
No, you don't have to. You can cut this bit anytime you want.
Okay, let's cut it now.
All right.
So we're going to discuss the sponsor on the air and then possibly do
possibly,
it?
Possibly, yeah.
Really?
That's yeah. that's wow. going to be a long this bleep breaking, for everybody to listen to.
Breaking new ground.
I'm trying, man. Remember how I broke this, you know, right out of the gate, I broke this segment for you. Remember? A few weeks ago?
Wow.
This Week in Soft Rock.
Yeah.
I love how you're taking all the credit for it.
Well, yeah. It's my baby, you know?
But Matt does all the writing.
It was born organically out of what Drew used to do.
That's what the song says. Well, I'm the one
I think it was his idea to have you do it.
I used to love what Drew did until you guys poo-pooed it so much that you upset the poor guy.
The poor guy.
Poor guy was good at the This Week in Rock. This day in rock
what's
history.
Next in soft rock?
1968.
That's what really matters.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
We're never going to get through okay?
They released their self-titled album that they recorded at the CBS Studios in New York City. We absolutely love Blood, Sweat, and Tears. In fact, as this was written, we had Blood, Sweat, and Tears coming out of our speakers. We had Blood, Sweat, and Tears coming out of our wherever.
Hey, really good. Nicely done.
Blood they should have said...
wherever.
That album was hotter than The Last Treehouse, which,
yeah,
because that's God. What the singer
Stop
said.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
David Clayton Thomas.
When he performed in West Bloomfield.
I got so weird.
And made a Holocaust joke.
All right, so we move on with soft rock, and this is actually almost a shout-out as well.
So please, Tom Jack.
David Clayton Thomas.
All your boy teammates ready to step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout out.
He sold a car. It's your birthday. You're a celebrity.
Uh-huh. David
How's
Gates.
Your grandma? Friend of the show. You're related. You're not related. He just met you. You like Seinfeld. You like big girls. Too Mandy
All
Moore.
Girls.
You sent a t-shirt. Who's going to ship it?
Joey. It's not a sports podcast.
You know, David
noticed a little show note going in between every one of those.
David Gates turned 78 today. Yes, that David Gates, born December 11th, 1940, the founding member of the soft rock band Bread.
Who's that dude?
Or as I like to call him, the whole grain of the group.
Hey.
Okay, not as funny as a Trump fart, but better than 19,999 likes on Facebook.
Ooh. Wow. Sorry. In my face!
Right there!
If a picture paints a thousand words.
Hey, I tagged you this week on the Howard Cosell, John Lennon. And you never wrote back.
Oh, those are fighting words.
On Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How could you do that to Tom?
How do you leave me hanging like that?
For some
that?
Reason, I never know when that happens.
How do you not
what
know?
Show me when. Got show eight. Me how I know that on
it
my phone.
It shows up. That I, it's the video shows up on your
on my Twitter.
Did yes. you need some kind of justification? Like,
well, I figured we can go back and
is
forth.
Is it possible that I'm not following you?
It could be. You
is
might
it
have
possible
blocked
that
me.
He just doesn't care about it.
He might have blocked me. He might have muted me.
No, I didn't block you.
All right. Well, we go to 1980 now, the day after John Lennon was murdered. Speaking of John Lennon, Paul went into a recording studio to clear his head. He reportedly told his guitarist Denny Lane, "I'm never going to fall out with anybody again, just in case this happens." You remember him saying that?
I don't remember that exact quote, but I'll trust it for now.
Cue Michael Jackson up, please.
Okay, I got him.
Okay, that's it. That
slow
was the
down.
Joke. That was the joke.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He and Danny Lane had a falling out, too, for the record.
They did.
They did. Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's okay. what he said.
They slow down.
All right, we go to 19.
Danny Lane's wife sold nasty stories to the British tabloids about Paul McCartney, so I think
Ooh.
He didn't have too much choice there. And shitty things about Linda, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
That's not very nice. And she was sweet, wasn't
AIDS.
She?
Sounded like it.
Yeah. All right, we go to This Week in 1991. John Denver's special, Montana Christmas Skies, aired on CBS TV. He was joined by Clint Black, Kathy Mattea, and Patti Loveless. John Denver was well known for his pop, folk, country-esque musical stylings. His biggest hits included Thank God I'm a Country Boy, Take Me Home, Country Roads, and The Pacific Ocean.
Slow down.
Thank you, Matt.
That was pretty good.
Well, Matt does all the writing.
John Denver's full of shit.
Tom just reads it. What happened this week? Soft
rock. Slow down.
All right, we move to 2007. Our friend Ike Turner, whose role as one of rock and roll's most innovative architects, suffered a fatal heart attack at the age of 76. Officials said he probably wouldn't have he would have lived if he wasn't trying to smack the hell out of the female paramedic. You get it? He was dying and he was trying to help him.
So please, Tom, tell us what happened today in soft rock.
Okay.
Tom, I like the way I'm going through your Twitter. I am following you.
Okay.
And you retweeted the show, The Andy Dick Show, and then you added, and don't forget, This Week in Soft Rock, hashtag This Week in Soft Rock.
Of course.
Do you only retweet the shows that you're on?
No, I retweet every show.
Really?
Do you really want us to fact check that?
I might miss a couple by accident. I like everything you guys put out.
So far, I only see that song, that show.
I like everything you put out.
What'd you think about the Trump doll?
I thought it's great. He's right here by me.
What'd you think about like the calls that we made?
It was great.
Which Trump doll was the best Trump doll?
This one here.
Yeah, which saying, though, did you like?
Yeah, which?
The one I have it queued up to.
Oh, that one was made in China.
I don't see any other shows tweeted out.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh? It's crazy.
You're not looking right away, Drew.
Not even the ones you're on, except for that one.
You're not looking properly.
Here's another one. Wait.
I like all your shows that you put out. I always like
you retweet all
your
of
shows.
This one. Wait, this is a show you were on that you tweeted out 2 weeks before the last one I found.
Really?
Tom's Mind is on Fast Food.
Tom's most recent tweet was responding to Silver Age TV, at Silver Age TV. They put out a picture of John Larroquette appearing as a bellhop in the mystery series Ellery Queen, Season 1, Episode 10, The Adventure of Pharaoh's Cruise.
And I love that show.
Yeah, I know. You replied, I love the Saturday Night Mystery Movie.
Sunday Night Mystery Movie.
Oh, Sunday Night Mystery Movie. McMillan and Wife, Columbo, McCloud, and Ellery Queen.
Yes.
It appears so
you
far.
You were one of five people that commented
see?
On that tweet.
You I was ahead of the game.
The previous show before that is Tom Mazzaway, Rock on Luke, and it's when Steve Lukather called in. Were you in for that show?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Was he on?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Strange. Always seems to be a Tuesday show. It's crazy.
Wait,
here's the next one. It seems like, oh, no, it's Drew Boudet birthday. And that is a Tuesday also.
Hmm. Oh.
Okay.
I'll be
what's next in Saffron?
Let's see. What are we going to do here? Oh, yeah. In 2012, we're going to wrap it up. Google Incorporated announced that Whitney Houston was the top search of that year following her untimely death. Followed by worst researched baby names. And it opened with a picture of Colin Powell's parents.
Wait, what? I missed the joke. I don't get it.
The joke is Colin Powell has a name.
Oh, Colin.
Oh.
He just called him Colin Powell.
Colin. Yeah.
So he messed it up.
I was thinking, what's wrong with Colin?
Well, Matt does all the writing, and Tom just reads it. What happens is
I don't think I like this anymore.
The punchline.
Another genre's music.
I don't think I like this, where this is going at all anymore.
Well, no, I
slow down.
Well, thank God we don't have a sponsor.
I was trying to figure out why the joke went flat.
Colin Powell. My bad.
Okay.
Colin. It's the Jersey
Tom
accent.
Just reads it once. What happened?
Colin Powell.
And I just have like a little note from Matt to the audience about Killer Cares.
Oh, okay.
Would you like me to read that?
Sure. Of course.
And finally, in This Week in Soft Rock 2018, tomorrow, in fact, which is Thursday, the Drew and Mike podcast will join a swath of talent to help support the Killers Christmas event put together by Matt Riley at the Lodge in Keego Harbor. Along with the crew here at Drew and Mike, slinging drinks behind the bar, here are some of the other special guests that'll be assisting. Wojo, Mojo, Ryan Armani, Ken Daniels, Mickey Redman, Erica Erickson, Amy Andrews, Julie Bertuzzi, and many more, including Mickey Redman. Oh, he's in there. And but the most important people that will be there, of course, is you. Tons of stuff, including 50-50 raffles, food and drink, all going for a good cause. Remember, the motto in Peter Bailey's office is, all you can take with you is that which you've given away. So open up your hearts and come on out to Killers Christmas, C-U-M, of course, to Killers Christmas. And don't forget, no man is a failure who has friends. And I can't wait to see all our friends tomorrow, December 13th, at the Lodge in Keego Harbor. I love you all. Happy holidays from Soft Magazine.
Is Soft Magazine the sponsor?
It is.
This Week in Soft Rock?
It is.
Really?
Except we, you know, we don't really have any.
How much are they paying?
We don't know yet. We haven't discussed that with you.
Oh, you're on the board?
I am.
Soft?
I am.
When does the board meet?
We haven't really gotten that far.
Or the editorial staff at Soft Magazine?
Does the board meet when you take days off from Zod?
Yeah, exactly. 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 Thank you, Mark.
So that was a migraine? You want to hit the outro, Brandon? We're done, aren't we?
Yeah, that was a migraine.
Finally.
Did you have it all day?
Most of the day, yeah.
Really? Okay. So what, did you go in the afternoon or?
Pardon?
Did you go in for the afternoon or?
I had an eye doctor in the afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was coincidence.
Convenient you took that day off.
Yeah. How about that?
So the eye doctor, was that like a 4-hour appointment?
Pretty much. Because, you know, you got your eyes dilated. You know, you went there. I was dizzy to begin with.
Drive there.
Wow. So I had to get driven there.
You had to get driven there?
Yes, I had to get driven.
When did you
So you were taking a half day anyway.
Well, they
knew. It almost sounds like you took a mental health half day, because why drive over half a day?
No, that's not it at all.
When did you make the appointment?
It sounded like it. I just
said
it sounded
months ago I made this appointment.
Oh, so you weren't working at Zot when you made the
I was, but you know what? You know, you got to take care of your eyes. Remember when I had to wear that patch?
During work hours.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I need one.
Detached retina. That is a detached retina.
How did it have to get detached?
Just a freak. Just a freak thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
There's no impact or like...
No, no impact. No one popped me or anything like that.
Huh.
Nope. Not yet.
So what time was the eye appointment?
That's one soft retina.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Did you have to stay till 9 that night at work?
Oh, yeah. 9 o'clock, Monday and Thursday.
Does the eye doctor only do them at that time?
That's the only time they were able to do it, yeah.
And the migraine.
So you
scheduled
it months and months and months in advance?
What time did you want me to schedule it?
I don't know. I'm just curious. I don't know.
Pick a time between
9 a.m. and then you go to work right after.
Between 8 and 9. Pick a time.
Just one final question. I swear I don't want to pursue this anymore.
Uh-huh.
Was the migraine? The migraine was apparently not so bad that you could go to the eye appointment.
I had to go to the eye appointment.
Oh,
I had to check on my eye.
But not really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe the migraine came from the eye.
Well, the eye looks good. That's all I can say.
Thanks, man.
It's good. Apparently
it's been a great time for you guys. I really love you guys. See you at Keego Harbor.
Don't feel good.